Blog Talk Radio.
Years in Babylon, condemn them down to the foundation.
In a Babylon, in a Babylon, in a Babylon, once in time, in a Babylon,
watch out.
In a Babylon, the wickedness of one, in a Babylon.
Revelation time has come
in a Babylon.
So run, devil, run
in a Babylon.
Watch out now, I tell you Babylon, you're so wrong. I know you don't really want die to get strong. You've been on top for all so long. You just won't see that your power is gone. You're living in a Babylon. I tell you in a Babylon. I smell you in a Babylon. You're all so wrong, you're in a Babylon.
So much corruption, so much pollution. They don't really want a true solution. All they want is more confusion.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and I'm Beverly, and we have Chungalia and guests with us tonight. Chungalia, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, vibrations, my sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can
hear me. Can you hear me? One love, more power to be in the reality. Well, my cousin Holly, he sure put out Babylon for us, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And that's what we in. We seem like we are in Babylon.
Well, we come to describe it so our children can see it and follow it because they've been following the wrong lights all the time. We got to straighten our children out. They are the future. When we go, they're going to be here.
Are you on the speakerphone?
Yeah, should I get on the regular? Should I change that?
Yeah, because we so we can.
Okay,
hear
how does it sound, sis? Well, no problem.
That's better.
Okay. I'm trying to make everything better.
Okay.
And it's got to be better. We got to work for better because we can always be better. Because every day that comes makes us better. From where? The power of the sun. And that's what we're here to talk about, the rising of the new sun in Aries, in Aries. And since we've come to that, let me just go ahead and run it down the position of the sun right now. Because the sun is the element that gives us oxygen. And I want you to find something that's more important than that. Because you can only, if you don't get no oxygen, you got about 3 minutes to live. I think that's kind of important. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because if we ain't living, we ain't talking about it. Okay, right now, excuse me, our dynamic sun is in the sign of Aries. And it's reflecting the energy to the moon that right now, on this day, the day is the 18th of April, and by the sun in motion of Aries, it's giving us the energy of I am, because Aries is number one sign in the zodiac, and Aries is saying I am, and he passed the baton, reflecting the light to Leo, because the moon is in Leo at this time, and by the moon, the moon is in Cancer right now, approaching Leo, and Mercury, the Miller mentality of behavior of our thought process, is also in Aries, and we got Venus in Pisces, but we got the energy to planet that produced Aries, which is Mars, the first planet, but Mars is in Aquarius right now. And we're in the age of Aquarius. And Aquarius says, I know, through humanity. And we got that in our energy field right now through Mars. And Mars rules Aries. And like, they pass the baton to Jim. That sound distracted me. And Jupiter is in Taurus right now. And Jupiter is three times larger than anything in the galaxy. And Taurus says, I have. The bull got 4 feet in the dirt. And it's Earth sign. It's always down to Earth with Taurus. And right now, Jupiter's in Taurus. And on this day, Saturn is in Pisces. And Saturn is the light of the teacher. Saturn rules principles, rules, and order. And it's in Pisces. My sign, the dreamer, through Neptune, what we have far-out beliefs. And that's what we're dealing with, far-out disciplinary things through this configuration of Saturn being in Pisces at this point. And we move the baton to Uranus, and Uranus is in Taurus right now. Uranus is about humanity. Because we're in the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and it's all about humanness, humanity, and humanity is at stake right now. And Uranus is in Taurus, and Taurus, the bull, is represented by Venus, the planet of beauty and the reciprocity, and love and affection. That's why Beverly, they have Hallmark cards, the white cow that jumped over the moon with the wings. That's a romantic sign that makes Taurus be a symbol of romance, because Taurus is ruled by Venus, the light of beauty, reciprocity, and affection. But some people think the Taurus, the bull, 4 feet in the dirt, is stubborn, and they're mean, but they also represent affection. And it's in, right now, Uranus, which is humanity and human things and what's right and what's wrong. And that's what we're up against in the light of today. We're up against rights and wrongs. I mean, politically, socially, even physically. We're trying to eat the better foods to be right and be unsick. And politically, look what the White House going through right now with rights and wrongs. They can't pick the right kind of president. They got all kind of bad selections. But we just, but they trying. They try. I bet they trying the best they can bet with what they're working with. You know, and because the elements are in the oxygen we're breathing. It's not in 6 o'clock news. It's not in what white, black do. White, what any kind of man does. Man lives on oxygen. So we got to understand that we're oxygenated people. Oxygen is coming from where? The planets in Mother Nature. Oxygen ain't made in no factory. Oxygen is made in the power of the sun, in the elements in the universe, and we're breathing it all together and inhaling and exhaling from birth to life, and we live in it. But we don't want to believe in it. This is some strange stuff we're into now. And that, I'm going to move over straight on over to the next one. There's only two more. Here we go. We got to go to Neptune. Neptune in Pisces right now. And Neptune is a planet of illusions and beliefs and fantasies. That's why Pisces say, I seek myself and I don't seek myself. Same time. One fish going up, one fish going down. Sign of confusion. I know well because my moon and sun's in Pisces. I'm double Pisces. Got it bad that way, you know, up and down, around and around. But I always get my path always gets served because Pisces is the 12th house. And it sits on top of every clock in the universe, 12 does. And we see time coming in, time going out. We are the spirit of the zodiac. Our slogan is, I believe. And right now, Pisces is in Neptune. And Neptune happened to be the planet that supports Pisces. Piscean people are Neptunian people. And then we're moving on to the big fella, outer planet, which is Pluto. And Pluto rules generations of people. That's we're in Aquarius generation still today. And now we got Aquarius in Pluto. Right now on the itinerary, the last one is Pluto in Aquarius. Well, Pluto is about dark secrets because Pluto rules generations of people. Not much more than all these signs and planets that just left. Pluto is outer planet rules a lot of elements in the universe. It takes a long time for Pluto to change from one to the other. And it's in Pisces, in Aquarius right now. And because we're in the age of Aquarius. And Aquarius is I am through Uranus. Uranus is humanity. And we are looking for humanity. We are humanitarians. If you choose to be a righteous person, you become a humanitarian because we're searching for humanity. And that's why Aquarius' slogan is, I know. All these signs have slogans. All of them do. And let me give a little information since I brought that up, Beverly. I'll give them all to people. Aries number one says, I am. Taurus number two says, I have. Gemini number three says, I resource. Cancer number four says, I feel. Leo number five says, I will. Virgo number six says, I purify, analyze. Number seven, Libra says, I balance. Number 10, Scorpio says, I desire. Number 9, Sagittarius. Eight Scorpio says, I desire. Number 9, Sagittarius says, I progress. Number 10, Capricorn says, I use. Number 11, Aquarius says, I know. And Pisces 12 says, I believe you. And it's a cycle of thought matter from 1 to 12. See, we have problems back in the age of Atlantis. When we was on Atlantis Island, long before Noah's Ark sunk everything over there, but we were living in certain areas in Atlantis that only related to our nature, which was our sign, because we were in tune with Mother Nature. Now we're way, way out of tune with Mother Nature. We done gone through an era in life where we have many names for God, or what is God. What did God power even mean? All that stuff we done went through in an assorted package that was psychologically built to divide us. Muslims believe in Allah. Christians believe in Jesus Christ. It's all the same element. We can't do nothing without breathing the sun's oxygen. But it seems like it's the last one we want to worship with is the sun. So it keeps us, as a matter of fact, confused. Confused. And it makes us divide and conquer is in motion. And that's why, Beverly, this is the first time we've been doing these shows for 12 years, only on this special day.
It's a long time.
Well, I think this is we've been doing it since 2010. How far back is that? Maybe 13 years? But all we can say is a long time back. It don't seem that long, do it, Beverly?
No, seem like
it really do, because we've been spreading the God's will, free at will to people. If they could dial their number and get on the phone or get on the internet and see the WW number, we've been spreading knowledge, because it ain't cost a dime. We ain't supposed to be charging people money for knowledge. I really have a test about that, because we all say that capitalism is a poison to black divinity, because we're in a capitalistic country, we got to abide by it. But it ain't what they do on it, ain't what Africans choose to do. We're a socialistic country. But anyway, we're doing it here. And I have a deep embedded thing in my heart about people that charge people for knowledge and then tell them that money's roots all evil. If money's roots all evil, why am I charging you for knowledge? You know what I mean? Is the money need that bad that I got to be lustful and evil with it? And if anybody listen right now, either grab their cell phone, I spread the word on this one, and Google Last Poet's Dollar Bill on YouTube, and it will break down the dollar bill to you. It's not our friend. The dollar bill is not your friend. It's not your friend. And we need it to eat. And it's a darn shame that we hooked up with something that's not our friend so we can eat. And then we call ourselves a balanced country. No, we teach confusion in this country. That's why on this planet even, because the planet is a symbol of a circle with an X in the middle, man on the crossroads of life. That's where they come up with the Holy Cross, man on the crossroads of life. The symbol for Earth is a circle with an X in the middle. As we come here to learn how to be divine in nature, we come here to learn how to learn humanity so we can be a human people. Well, we have turned it around the wrong way. In the lust of money, we're shooting and killing each other and dropping friends and families breaking up and all kind of anti-love is in motion under the lust of the Confederate notes and dollar bill that teaches individuality and not the group factor. And if you come up with some pyramid games, it make a group factor and produce people off the top with a bunch of money and only cost $15 to get on, then we're disobeying American laws. The federal government will put you in jail because you're using their money improperly, they say. So, see, we're in that kind of box that we live in, and it's a true factor we must agree with. When they took the chains off our hands, they put the limitation of dollar bills on our brain. And we're living in a capitalistic country, and we have to follow capitalistic rules, but African is a socialistic country. And speaking of Africa, Beverly, I got some of my buddies coming up. My cousin, Haile Israel, he's going to be speaking on his endeavors to move to Africa. And Alfonso is going to be on speaking about his endeavors to move to Africa, and they've taken extreme research on moving to Africa. And that's what they will be talking about when they come on tonight. Mm-hmm. What time are they coming on? Was it 10 o'clock? 10:15. With Baba Malik. Mm-hmm. Baba Malik. Superstar Baba Malik is coming on to speak about the first black food co-op in Detroit. D-Town Farms have created on the corner of Euclid and Woolworth in Detroit, and it will be opening up in the next month or two, maybe in May. Malik will be telling us all about that at 10 o'clock. He'll be on, and he'll be lecturing on the power of eating greenery. And I heard this brother do a lecture once on the love of when you put your hands in the dirt and start being a farmer and raising crop. You know, you become a part of Mother Nature when you put your hands in the dirt, because we come from Earth. We are a part of Earth. But in America, we've been taken away from those values. You hear me?
Can you hear me?
I hear you well.
Okay. Is that why when we go to the next dimension, they put us in the dirt and we turn back to dirt?
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that even when they cremate us, they turn us into dust. And you know, it's another dimension. But we're talking about the movement of the body, though. But see, the soul that lives within the body,
right,
is only gonna be in there from the reincarnate from your birth to your exit, because the soul is only living there to move on to another soul, to go on another trail. That's why they say, when we read what's karma, people say that we have met each other in other lifetimes. Our souls have met in other lifetimes, because souls have been reincarnating and reincarnating. And if that's true, then you can relate to the term one mind, one world, one soul, because we're all really one. But Bob Marley said in a lot of his music that we're all really one. Now, if we're all really one soul, united in this oxygen zone called Earth, living off oxygen, how come we have such a problem with unity? See, that's where what I mean to talk about tonight, and that is atom, thought matter. See, because Aries, the sun is moving in Aries. That's what rises up the first day of spring. Aries, number one, uno, the first sign of the zodiac, ruled by Mars, energy and drive. And Aries' slogan is, I am. And Aries rules the skull, the head, and Aries is the thinker that controls the body. I'm just Pisces, the feet. When the head say move left, my foot don't ask the head no question, I move left. Your hand don't ask it. What's that, baby?
No, I was just going to say, I didn't want to stop your roll, but can you kind of go down the body as far as...
Oh, yeah, you're from the anatomy structure of the human body. Yeah, we can vibrate to that. We got a little more time this time, Beverly, because I'm not doing those number readings and people calling in and what have you. Salute to my daughter, bless her soul. Her anniversary and her husband's anniversary is today. And I'm so glad for that. Yeah, be African ways of anniversary today. But no, they're doing wonderful. They've been married now, I think 33 years. 33
wow,
years,
that's
a long
excellent.
time. Long time. Well, I raised be African ways myself, and her mother and I, we both raised her, and we both took care of her and with proper values and morals of the Nguza Saba, the seven principles, 7 days of Kwanzaa, because Dr. Karinga named me Chungalia when I was 15 years old, 8 months before Kwanzaa was created. I was one of the first people that watched him write Kwanzaa on a chalkboard, first time in life. And I was in the first Kwanzaa Los Angeles Palladium, a boot dancer, and I was only 15 years old. And I'm 75, just turned 75 last week, barely. 75.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Earth Day.
And I still feel like a young man. And I'm going to go on a lot further, because I follow the Nguza Saba. I follow the things that I learned. I speak Swahili since I was 15 years old to now, and I haven't met anyone around speaking about better than me, but I love it because it's an African language and it has rhythm to it. And it's so wonderful to be able to say, "See, Fio Temte Weusi, all praise due to the black man." Habibi. I went to school and studied Kiswahili, a little miss. Santi Sana, Habibi. And thank you, miss. Well, to be able to spit that out at any time, it's wonderful to be able to grab hold to a language, knowing that this European language that we're in is only psychologically gearing us in a hypnotic trance of individuality and not loving each other. And that's what we are, it seemed like, individuality people, only thinking about self first. Self-preservation is our goal for life, when love in each other should be our goal for life. Because we all are one. We all living on the same oxygen. But somehow we get different criteria for religion, different criteria for theology and beliefs and everything, and we just keep letting ourselves get divided and conquered. We all one. And one day, we're going to learn there's only one race on this planet, the human race. And then we're going to really embrace the power of love. But see, what's stopping us now is Adam. Adam means thought. And if we keep thinking individuality and self-preservation. And so how can we do that? How can we make loving friends on the one and everybody think myself first? Ego means easing God out. You're easing God out with ego. You know, and I tell people all the time when I see them getting married and stuff, are you ready to execute the I and give birth to the we? Because when you get married, you better execute that I and give birth to the we. Because that's what it takes to make it work. And I've seen a lot of people make it work, like my darling husband. They're a classical example of it. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. They are very close. And they let each other have their own independence and their own character. We try to dominate each other in a relationship because we are from the I am generation. I am the one. I am this. I am this. I am that. What about the we factor? You know, until we learn the power of love, we can always be individuals thinking about self first and self preservation and not each other. We got to break that. That's what they Nguza Saba, the seven principles before. I watched Mahalana put them on a chalkboard first time in life. I watched him put the word Kwanzaa on a chalkboard first thing in life. You know, I met him. He's just a star in the organization. I was 15 years old, going on 16. And I've been through a lot of journeys and witnessed a lot of stuff and learned from a lot of teachers. But the study of the sun has been the best thing I've ever learned because it's a study of oxygen that we're living on. And it's important. And it's number one, we're celebrating the first day, Aries, the first spark of life. And Aries says, I am. Through Mars, the number one planet of energy and drive. But when we understand that we are energy fields, living in a large energy field off oxygen, if we understand that, we'll start studying pramayana, the art of breath control. Dr. Minister Saladin in the Cosmic Christ Church that I'm a part of, he takes a pride in teaching pramayana, the art of breath control. We have codes for breathing, and the way to put oxygen in our cell bodies to be more oxygenated, because oxygen is what supports us. But see, we hung up in another thought process. And this thought process that we're in has taken us into individuality where we only think of self. And we're producing the kind of mentality we're showing is producing the kind of children that we get. And the power to be then turned our children away from listening to adults, grandparents. You know, the word old school means they're in a whole other school for me, so don't even listen to them. If you ain't rapping, sagging, and thugging, then you ain't cool enough for them to listen to. So what happens is there comes a big generation gap between grandparents and the children and the elders and the children because they don't want to hear that. They want to hear something else than hearing the history of where they really come from. So as the struggle goes on from the Burn, Baby, Burn era of the 60s, we are losing our children to technology and not humanity, because technology is here to kill humanity. Technology is not a human element that we are looking forward towards. Technology is trying to make robots out of us inside of 50 years, and they're using all kind of psychology through thought matter to keep us focused on technology. The richest man in the world that owns a lot of things, whatever his name is, he was on TV the other day showing how that he's working on using the nervous system in the human body to connect it with a computer chip in your head so he can build a cell phone in your brain so you don't have to pay no cell phone bill. All you got to do is think a thought in the phone ring in your brain, and you'd be talking to the person you want to talk to. I won't have to remember your number. All I can do is think about you, and your number will ring in my head. Now, if that's not preparing us to become robots in 50 years, I don't know what else is.
And if you tap in, you can do that automatically. You already can do that.
Yeah, I know, because you have this exactly... You hit it on the head, because everything they think of has already been here.
We are it. Mm-hmm.
I know. It really, they say it ain't nothing new under the sun. Because everything is just redone and redone. So if they thinking about controlling the cell phone by the electrical system in your body, then they're thinking about putting a cell phone inside of you, making you be a cell phone. Well, you know, that's almost like mass genocide to the word self-determination, because you no longer will be determining who you are or what you are. You're not a human, you become a machine. Would you rather be a machine or would you rather be a human? Is the answer, right, Beverly? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Well, I mean, be what you are. We are humans. And it's up to us not to let it happen. Everything they model is after the human body. So they want to put an artificial brain in the place of the divine brain, the real brain. And so all this is doing is making us stronger, because you're going to have to raise your vibration, your thought pattern, to override whatever they're trying to do. Because they feed off of us. They imitating us.
Well, they
so
are
that's
imitation.
An imitation of it. Right. So you don't.
We're a synthetic being. We're the positive being.
And when we have to, and we give them too much credit, we have to start to recognize who we are and our capability and tap in. And this is a perfect time to do the breathing, like you say, because we are in that Aries energy. We're going from the feet. We headed back up to the head with that Aries. And we got all this energy that's going on. And you talk about with the planets lining up and April the 8th and the energy starting now and the 20th. I mean, this is the time to really focus on your capability. Don't be focusing on the artificial. We the real deal. Go ahead.
We got the melanin. This is why. And you already know that, Beverly. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think many people know the power of melanin. You know, the pineal gland is our connection to the cosmic universe. You only relate to the pineal gland when your eyes are closed, either sleeping or blindfolded. But it sits between on the back of your neck, between your ears, up your spine, up your vertebrae of your spine, right between your ears. The pineal gland sits there and it sends signals to the left hemisphere, or what we call the brain, and the right hemisphere, what we call the brain. Because the real brain is in your solar plex, in your God center, your root chakra. That's where you get, that's the tree of life. But we don't understand the anatomy structure and the flow, of the tree of life. We don't understand that because we don't get that knowledge in a typical educational system. We only can get that knowledge through our cosmic teachers, like the one I have, the one I've always been studying under the cosmic truth. With the Kabbalahs since 73 with me through a brother named Vestai, then ended up to a brother named, they came from a brother named Kahaji, then ended up with a brother named Dr. Minister Saladin from the Cosmic Christ Church that we have right now in Detroit. We still studying the degrees of the sun and following the angles of the planets to understand more about the oxygen that we're living on. And see, and we think that money is the most important. Try to do money if you dead. I know one thing for sure, if you hold your breath long enough, you can kill yourself. Because we need to breathe at least every 2 or 3 minutes, or you know, get to reduce some oxygen. Because without oxygen, we ain't doing nothing. But we don't care. If we did care, we would never smoke a cigarette and blow that poison into the oxygen. How do we do that? I did it for 40 years. I don't even know. I got out of it a long time ago, though. But I smoked cigarettes for a long time. A lot of us did. We blowing poison in the air and killing the oxygen for children. And we don't even realize. We realize that cigarette smoking might hurt the baby, but we don't act like we still face it. $7 for a pack of cigarettes on a consistent basis. That's sad to think. I'm so glad I got out of that. But a lot of people can't. It's sad that we're mentally trapped in cigarettes. That's really sad because we're blow. We hurting everybody in the environment around us. Got to smell what we blowing out our mouths, and it's hurting their lungs. Like, we don't care. We still smile when we talk to them, too, while we smoke cigarettes.
Well, we in our hip, like you say, we been hypnotic. We in a hypnotic state. We program, or however you want to call it. And if you just swim in it and don't pull yourself out of it, that's what they mean when they say thinking outside of the box. So you got to, and you always say vibration, and you have to raise above that vibration. Then, like, just like you recognize it now, but when you was doing it, you didn't really recognize it. And somewhere along the line, you pulled yourself above that. And it's like, no, this is not good for me.
My addiction for cigarettes made me so lustful for my own addiction, I didn't care if it hurt other people. That's the way you get. You care about your Jones for hitting that cigarette. You don't care about the smoke hitting no baby.
Well, how did you, and you was also.
I stopped in one day.
Lungs.
I shut it off because I have control of myself, okay, sister? Believe me.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
I'm going to tell you what I used
yes,
exactly what I want to talk about in a few minutes, and that's hypnotics.
Okay.
Well,
uh-huh.
I went to the Camaro Institute Hospital,
mm-hmm.
and I paid
mm-hmm.
$60 to be hypnotized to not smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah.
knew ain't no hypnotism can hypnotize me unless I make it hypnotize me, unless I agree with what they say and go with it.
Yeah.
I let it happen. I made it happen. I hope I paid $60 and hope to God it would happen. And so what I did, I told myself, if they have a pink poodle jumping through a hula hoop, that's going to hypnotize me, and I'm going to stop smoking. Whatever they do, if they held their finger up in the air and didn't even move that finger, that hypnotized me. I put all my willpower in whatever they're going to do. And what they did, I made it hypnotize me and bought a CD from them and played it every morning to continue to be hypnotized. And that one day was the last day I smoked a cigarette. And that was 40 years
ago. And that's part of the solution right there, because we keep saying that what they're doing to us is hypnotizing us with the programming. They call it programming. So what do you just gave part of the answer. Go and hypnotize yourself the way you want it, the unhypnotized from their act.
Bingo, you got the secret.
There it is.
There it is. You said it worked for me.
Raised the vibration.
Made it work for me. If I hadn't submitted, I would have been talking about, I ain't hypnotized, I ain't changed me, and I'd have been smoking a cigarette in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it work.
And you also submitted to their program. So it's all about, that's what they mean when they say we have free will. And so even this, like you was hypnotized, okay, you got the will to go and get unhypnotized and reprogram yourself. That's what you did.
Correct. That's what I did. So, you said absolutely right. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because the reason we're talking about this is because the oxygen that we're consuming right now is coming from the sun. It's just going into Aries, and Aries rules thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Aries rules the head. And Aries says, I am that to which I am. You know, and it's a fire sign, and it's a lot of energy, and most Aryan people don't involve with stuff that they can't be in charge of, because Aries is number one uno. You know, like Leo 5, the fifth house, Leo says, I will. And Leo, no, they ruled by the sun. They're kings and queens of the universe, Leo the lion. So when Leo walk in the room, there ain't nobody in that room but that Leo to them, because they're the kings and the queens of any environment they walk in. But guess what, Beverly? They got no kingdom. They got no kingdom.
Mm.
They're born to be kings and queens. Their sun sign is Leo. I mean, their sun sign is the sun. Leo is ruled by the sun. Maybe I should run the ruling planets off before we move from this subject, because I want to get into something else before we get off of here. And that is, I'm going to run some information about each sign And we're going to leave astrology alone because I got something else. Okay. Number one, Aries says I am. The slogan for is I am. Aries is a fire sign. And they say I am through Mars, the root Aries. Number two, Taurus, ruled by Venus, the light of beauty, reciprocity. And Taurus says, I have earth sign. And then we go to Gemini, number three. Gemini is ruled by Mercury, the mental mentality. And Gemini says it rules everything in your body that's in two. It's Gemini. And Gemini says, I resource. Your feet are resourceful. Your hands are resourceful. Everything in two. Your eyes are resourceful. Your nostrils. Everything is in two. It's about a resource in your body. And number four is Cancer. And Cancer is ruled by the moon. The feminine side of the light of life. The sun reflects the light to the moon, and the moon gives you light in the night because it's a reflection of the father. And it's the feminine part. It's the mother of life ruled by the moon, the feminine side. And Cancer says, I feel. And Cancer rules the torso of the body. And the torso of the body is about feelings. And that's why Cancer's animal is the crab. Because the crab has all those feelings, and the crab cleans the rocks in the bottom of the ocean. Okay? And it gave birth to Leo, the fifth house. And Leo is the ultimate element of the sun. And Leo is ruled by the sun, and every sign is a sun sign. No wonder Leo feel like they're king, they're the king of beasts because they're the lion and the sun. But the only thing wrong with a Leo, they don't have a kingdom. So when they meet a friend, that becomes their kingdom. That's why it's hard to get along with a Leo sometimes, because they have truth to feel that way, because they are ruled by the sun. They are the kings and queens of the universe, but they got no kingdom. So when they make you in a relationship or a friendship of any sort, they feel like they're the king of the relationship or the friendship, because that's their nature. But see, we live in out of place to have rhythm and natures with the sun. We live in America. Well, our nature happens to be centered upon how much money you got and all of that. So we get all focused out of what the sun giving us, because the sun ain't important, because we don't believe that the sun is life or death to us. We believe that some other element is. We've been distracted away from the oxygen that we breathe. I don't understand how we get distracted from the oxygen, but we did. It's not important to us no more. That's why we have a whole lot of people smoking cigarettes with oxygen. Come on now. But anyway, we do it. Okay, now, then that goes, the next baton is going to Virgo.
No, Virgo, wait a minute, where's Leo?
Leo is the sun, the fifth house.
But I mean, I feel it's Cancer. What is Leo?
Slogans. Okay, Leo says, I will. They have some willpower, okay? They have all the willpower because they're from the sun. And they have the willpower to do what they choose to do because they're the king of beasts. They're just Leo the lion and ruled by the sun. And they're stronger than the sun in this galaxy. Okay, and it gave the baton to Virgo, Mercury. Virgo's about Mercury. And Virgo says, I purify, I analyze, I get it right, because Virgo rules the groin area in the body. Virgo is the version of life. Virgo rules a root chakra where they say God is born inside of you. You know what I'm saying? And Virgo gave birth to Libra. And Libra ruled the kidneys and thighs. And Libra said, I unite the body through Venus, the light of beauty. You know what I'm saying? And Libra is balance, fairness, and judgment through Venus. And then it gave birth to Scorpio. And Scorpio says, I desire through three signs. Now, the only one ruled by three signs, Mars, Mercury, and Pluto. Mars is the energy and drive. Mercury is the mental mentality. And Pluto is the dark secrets. But the only reason that Scorpio is ruled by three planets and everybody else is ruled by one planet is because Scorpio is a sign of life and death. Scorpio, if you turn that eight sideways, you got the sign of infinity, the way into life and the way out of life, because Scorpio rules the tip of your sex organ, male and female. That's all Scorpio. And Scorpio also rules desires. And what are the American downfalls in humanity, Beverly? Sex and money. the desires based on sex and money in this country. And they'll tell you that. It ain't no joke. It's a lie. We've been talking about it a long time. America breeds on sex and money. And it is all Scorpios, because Scorpio says, I desire through Mars, Mercury, and Pluto. But it's turn the eight sideways, you got the sign of infinity, which is the way they say that archaeologists back in the ancient days, they couldn't get into the circle of life astrology until they learned to turn that eight sideways. And it was the way into the circle and the way out of the circle, and eight, and it became the sign of infinity. The sign of infinity is an eight laying on its back. That's why in astrology, Scorpio is the way into life and the way out of life, and yes, it deserves to have three signs, Mars, Mercury, and Pluto. And it gave birth to the ninth house, which is the largest sign, because the Sagittarius is
Now,
eight Scorpios, eight.
What sign was Libra?
Venus. I just talked about Libra's
okay.
Tail.
I know. I didn't put Venus down.
Well,
okay.
Went to eight Scorpio. Okay.
Okay.
And Scorpio is a sign of life and death and infinity. I'm explaining how it's where life came through, and it was a time when Virgo was connected with Scorpio. Because Virgo is a sign of birth canal inversions. That's why I say Virgo the Virgin, because it rules the birth canal. But Scorpio is a sign of life and death. And it was a time when those animals were connected together. I won't talk much about it because I can't back it up, but Mr. Saldin has said that many, many times, I've heard. And when you leave Scorpio, you go to the ninth house, which is the big fella. For one reason, I believe only, and that is because nine is three times three. And guess what? All of us, everything living that came from a mama and a daddy is three. Because you got your mama in you, your daddy in you, and you in you. It's three elements, and that's the sun, the moon, and the earth. And three times three makes nine. That's why Sagittarius is three times is ruled by Jupiter. It's three times larger than anything in the galaxy. And Jupiter Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. And Sagittarius is the only sign in the whole zodiac that got a weapon. Ain't no weapon in the zodiac except that bow and that arrow in Sagittarius. Sagittarius got that bow and that arrow. And it's aiming towards Taurus, institution building of Atlantis. Because at one time, there wasn't but three signs, Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. And that's back in before Noah's Ark in Atlantis, before the Atlantis sunk. Everybody lived in an area that they were they of a sign. We had all Aries living in that terrain, all Taurus living in that terrain, all Gemini living. Everybody had a terrain to live in, and they made it based on their signs. See, all this is Atlantis knowledge that you ain't getting from European people because they don't know about it. See, people don't believe us, but it's fact, Jack. We go way back in history. The white Americans started their time. The linear method of time was created from the sundial. Ask your Google. That's where I learned it from. But it was made from the sundial. Okay, what made the sundial? After the pyramids was here, we put the sundial there, so on the center of the equator, from Egyptian theology that came from the Atlantis. So we go way, way back. Mr. Saladin tells all the time, there was no ending and there's no beginning to life. Life has always been here. All the stuff we're living on is an illusion. It was created by somebody that wasn't even here until the pyramids from Egyptian theology was all created. You know, it's a whole lot, sister, that we're living on that ain't real. Because we don't study far back enough. That's why I listen to my elders. And that's why I wanted to turn this show around to understand about our elders and the power a person can have in listening to their elders. Our kids are lost because they won't listen to their elders. Because they're suffering from the loss of four decades of daddyless home. All that burn, baby, burn we did in the 60s put us in a, in a box. And sociology and psychology of Americanism chained that box down and threw it in history, and it's just sitting there. Because right after that, by 73, when Ronald O'Neill said, "I'll choke on chicken bones," the red ones, if all the red ones are dead if I die. And the Superfly movie tore us up, and women went to college and men went to drugs in 73. And then by 79, we had Daddy's Homes. By 1982, Rick James came out with Free Basin. And Free Basin created rock cocaine created rock cocaine all over the place in 1984. And now look what we got going on. Then we lost our children. They showed us movies and hologram movies back in the 70s about how women that was on welfare couldn't have the baby daddy sleeping with them because he wasn't a part of the welfare account. So we had movies where we saw baby daddy jumping out the window and stuff. A lot of them gangster movies in the 60s, I mean 70s, was about downgrade daddy and upgrade mama. Then all of a sudden, here come Grandmaster Flash with S on his chest. And rapping and scratching the Ninja Turtles on the ground, confused our kids. It's so funny because it was Ninja Turtles. They joined up with it. And then Baby Boy movie come out in 82. And it just took our children away from us, the psychology of television and the media and what's going on. And we ain't got our kids back since then. And now technology got them. The modern thing to do today, if a two-year-old kid is crying on a bus, is to put a cell phone in their face with a cartoon, that pig gonna shut up. Ain't about a real pacifier no more. And they'll shut up. And this is all thought. This is what we do to educate. We have two-year-old babies watching cartoons on a radiation cell phone just so he'll be quiet on a bus. And the kids are getting subliminal messages. And these very same kids that are 2-3 years old right now, they're the ones that's going to be running aerospace in 40 years where they don't be had no cars. They're talking about cover jets and flying around. They was talking on CNN just the other day, Beverly, about how kids 16 years old don't want no car because they can't afford it with all the high college institutional money and all they need is Uber. In a cell phone, they don't need to pay no car insurance or no gasoline or no prepare no car. They need Uber and a cell phone. And they gone. A credit card, Uber, a cell phone, and they don't need no car. They say it's amazing how 16-year-olds today do not want a car. And when I was growing up, man, we was dying to have a car. They don't want them because they don't need them. It's too much liability. Why? Because they're educating them for aerospace. Aerospace, flying cars, hover jets. So America is not just training us for self-hatred. It's training our children to be opposite of us. And we done lost our kids. I go in these black nationalist meetings. They've been in nationalism as long as I have since 1965 to watch riot to now. I've been involved in the struggle. And I go to some of the meetings they have, and it'd be nobody in there under 30. And so I stand up and ask them, are we dealing with the future? Are we just modulating a 60s consciousness over and over and over and over and over? But we ain't got no kids in the room, so what we're talking about is not going to the future. The kids are the future. I don't care if it's bad, good, medium, or rare. The kids are definitely the future. And if we ain't trying to change them, then we just stimulating ourselves on what we already know from 40 years ago. You know, it ain't doing us no good today because ain't nobody following it because it's out of style in their view. Although it's the truth of what they need, morality, they need to know that they are walking the life of their mama, daddy, and self. Everybody's threefold. Everybody got your mama in you, your daddy in you, and you in you. They don't know that's the sun, the moon, and the earth, but it is what it is. The Father give you the soul of the Son. Mama give you the femininity of the moon, but you are your reality, and this three-tone entity is in every human. And if we don't realize that 3 times 3 make 9, the highest single-digit number in the world, then we don't focus on the reality. There's a 10, there's a 1 with a 0 searching for a hero on the left-hand side. You think we know something like that in school? No. I ain't learned nothing in school, Beverly. I went to many schools in L.A. Didn't learn nothing. I learned hallology and social numerology. But when I got on the East Coast of America from California to the East, this where the sun rises up, it sets down in the West. Man, I started learning sun knowledge, Beverly, when I was 23 and 73. Now I'm 75 years old. And I got a reading disorder. I learned from my elders. And if we could just get our kids to listen to elders, they would all find their way right now. If every one of them saggers, gun-toting, speed-driving saggers, they got no morals and values, just rap music and what they think, and rap music and getting high and having sex with anything walking. I mean, I see anything walking, and if they would straighten their brain out and just realize their answer is in listening to their elders. If they would just go to one grandparent and say, teach me how to be a man, and submit to that, they'd find their way out of the trouble they're in. Because the only problem we got with our kids is that we're old school. It's making them not listen to elders. If you listen to your elder, you find your way. I found mine, and I got a reading and writing problem. I teach numerology, astrology, and a lot of metaphysical sciences to people. I don't read and write. But I've been tutored by elders, and I got books back to back it up. I may not read them, but I know how to teach people through them because I've been taught through them. You see, there's, if you got the will to want to know, there's a way to know. But the kids, their willpower is built in what they think the style is. And so all the burning and burning, baby burning, and revolutionary problems we had in the 60s trying to teach people black power, it's gone down the drain because kids won't listen to it. And they're going to die off.
Well, we know what the problem is, and so we got to reach out and, like you say, get some group together and do some breathing techniques and some hypnotism and... And we got to do something. We can't just.
I ain't giving up. Don't let me sound like no giving up ship, because I know one thing that there's a way.
Our words are powerful.
To draw attention back. I really think that what got our children away from us started with scratch music, scratched out the last poets, and come up with rapping 100 miles an hour, and then the baby boy syndrome started, and femininity started, and next thing we know, when our children become kind of adult, that have sex with anything walking, because they don't care about male or female priorities. They care about having fun with sexuality. It's because they have no morals and values and principles that our parents taught us, because they didn't get handed down to them. So a solution to that is for us to learn how to talk to them and learn how to teach them how to be how do you have humanity. You see, humanity has been taken away from them. They'll shoot anything moving, even if it's their grandparent. They don't even care. They'll shoot their own grandparent. It happens on the news all the time. Because they don't care. They lost morality. They lost standards. You know, America is...
They've been programmed.
And they're being more programmed to be robots. Now, how the robot...
Okay, well,
programmed.
That's what I'm saying. We
know
what the problem is, so we can't just... We got to do something about it. And you gave
a couple
of good solutions.
We have to educate them to humanity.
Yeah.
They got to understand that the word humanity is not an enemy word. We have to be humane in order to exercise human values. You know, and we have to do that.
If I was a young person and an elder was coming to me and telling me all the mistakes I'm making, I don't want to hear that. Yeah, I'll be the same way. It's like, get out of here. I know what I'm... But if you come to me what I'm just saying, your words is powerful. And so we know how our children is. It's up to us to redirect them.
What you got to do,
it's
sister.
It's a battle going on. It's a battle going on.
What you
got
to do,
so,
Beverly, is ask them what they want.
Yeah.
Ask them what they want and show them how to get it. See, that's what you got to do.
Yes.
You ain't got to start working on them like no mechanic on no car. You got to ask them what they want.
That's
when
it.
You ask them
yes.
what they want, after you make a friendship with them and they learn that you
yes.
are older than them and you might give them a positive way
they
to go,
listening.
Get what they want.
They're
show
listening.
Them how to get what they want in a positive light. See, first you got to find out what's their ambition. Because you ain't teaching nobody if you ain't giving them what they want.
And
they want what they want. So you got to find out what they want. Show how to get it properly.
Some of them will say they don't know. And
then well,
then
you ask them, are they ready to be taught values and morals? Are they ask them, are they ready? If some ain't ready. It's Malik's time, I think.
Well,
you know,
but wait a minute. You stop that Sagittarius. What is Sagittarius? Sagittarius is I what?
There's a ninth house, and I did go to Capricorn. Capricorn is number 10, and Capricorn is ruled by Saturn.
What?
And Capricorn says, I you. And then we got two more. We got Aquarius.
Wait a minute. Capricorn is I you, and what is
okay,
what is
let me. Capricorn is
Sagittarius.
Sagittarius' slogan is I progress. Because Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, and Jupiter is three times larger than anything in the galaxy. If Jupiter got close to the sun, it would shadow the sun out. Jupiter's so big. Jupiter is number 9, and number 9 is ninth house. If 9 is bigger than any number in the universe, because 9 is 3 times 3. And all you are
right.
is your mama, daddy, and you. The sun, the moon, and the earth, negative, positive in your reality. And that's you, threefold. But what's 3 times 3? 9, the biggest number in the world. And it gave birth to the principles of life, which is Saturn, Capricorn. See, Capricorn number 10 rules principles in order. Saturn rules karma and dharma. In astrology, we call Saturn the black police. Because Saturn will make you burn until you learn. Saturn will go into the 13th moon of Saturn is Titan, where they keep all the memories of what you did in previous reincarnations. You might have got away then, but you're going to get clipped in this one or the next one because it's bothering you in the 19th moon of Titan. That's where your karma's being held at. And that's what Capricorn do. That's why Capricorn people don't waste nothing. You know, right now it's time for Malik to be coming on. He's Capricorn. Okay, but then you
okay.
go to, after 10, you, let me finish now. After 10, you go to Aquarius. And we are in the age of Aquarius. And Aquarius ruled by Uranus, the light of humanity. And that's why we're in the age of humanity. And we're focusing on the United States government right now, building Donald Trump to get in office to destroy democracy. There's a reason why they're destroying democracy, and this plan been going on for 30, 40 years. They ain't just brought it up. We just don't know yet. We know it now. Donald Trump tear down the White House. That's what they want. So they can build. Why do you think they, right now, taking all his criminal charges and pushing them so far into the future that when he become president, he just throw them away and still be the president? So it's fight against democracy versus a dictatorship. Putin, that's what they want. They need a dictatorship. There'll be a day when they close down the Pentagon, they close down the White House, and it's all going to be United States Army. Ain't going to be no presidents. No, it's going to be the Army, and they're going to control this place with dictatorship. And what they have to do to make that happen, make us be afraid of atomic warfare or something like that. It's coming from my man Spike Lee said about Donald Trump when he's running against Hillary. Don't let that man get near them buttons. That's what Spike Lee said. Because it's coming to that one day. And this place is going to be military. There ain't going to be no government. And they setting us up for that. Same way they setting our kids up with 2 years old with the mama giving them a cell phone for a pacifier because them is the ones that's going to be running aerospace beyond cars. This is no joke. The white man got us trained 20, 30 years in advance. You know what we're going to be doing. And it's working for him so far. All this stuff is a pre-plan. It's working. It's amazing to watch how Donald Trump doing what he's doing.
You're talking to people that we've done research, and so we can hear that you listen to CNN. Like you say, you look at CNN.
Oh, yeah, I watch everything that happens.
That's a propaganda machine.
I know.
We'll leave that alone. Now go to Aquarius.
The last one.
Aquarius is I what?
Aquarius says I know, and Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and we are in the age of Aquarius, and that's why we're ruled by Uranus, and Uranus is about humanity. And that's why we're in the era of humanity. That's why we're talking about humanity right now. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about being humane. And also, if you want to get good karma, you better be humane. Okay, and what you do is what makes you be you. Okay, then after that, we move over to Pisces, the last house, the 12th house. I'm double Pisces. But 12 sees time coming in and time going out on every clock. It sits on top of the clock. It's ruled by Neptune. Neptune is a planet of illusions, dreams, fantasies, religion, and ideas. They're all Neptunian. But see, from the feet, Aries say I am. And I think this sends signals to the body as to what to do from Aries. The brain get it, and then when it come to the head, and the head say foot turn left, the foot going to turn left. And Pisces ruled by the feet. Pisces ruled the feet. And that's the part that is controlled by your brain, Aries. Your body's an electronic machine that's ruled by 12 elements of astrology. But we've been defined away from that since way, way back in Atlantis day. That this to be a poison science. So it's a poison science, so we don't want wants to listen to it, but they still want to breathe the air of it. Like they don't want to worship the sun, but they want to breathe the sun's air to live. And we're all confused like that, sister. You know, Bob Malik got the best solution.
Uh-huh.
What you eat is what eats. What you eat is what makes you be you. What you put inside of you is what makes you be you. And of D-Town Farms, about Bob Malik, man, he's a jewel in the city of Detroit. And we got a market coming on that the brother going to have a grand opening very soon. And we want to put him on the air so we can talk soon. Is he in the gallery waiting to talk, sister?
Yes, he is.
I know
Thanks
he is,
because
he's a real soldier. He's capital. I love that, brother.
Thank you, Baba Malik. Great to have you with us again.
Peace. It's good to be back again. I want to jump right in and say to my brother Chungalia, while I appreciate what he's saying, Sister Beverly a couple of times said something that I'm not sure you heard. She said words are powerful. While many of our youth are troubled, if we take the narrative that none of them are doing anything, and you know some of the things you said just are negative, Chungalia, and you're not going to track any young people with that kind of putting that kind of energy out. And also, that's not characteristic of all of them. I know many young people who are highly conscious and who are doing very positive things, and we can't characterize them all, you know, in this just negative way like we put them all in one pot together. The other thing is that while it's important that young people learn from elders, as I mentioned to you many times before, Chungalia, it's also important that young people, that old people, listen to young people because they help us to grow. They see the world in a way that we can't possibly see it. So it's important that we don't characterize all our young people as being bad and lost because they're not. And language, words are power. And so we don't want to put that. We want to speak affirming language about our young people and help to lift them up and support those of them who are trying to do positive things. It's not the majority of our young people who are here wilding out. You know,
it's not the majority, but it's enough of them to create a news media to make it stir up sus. But I agree with you, brother. There's a whole lot of positive people, especially the ones that came out of your school in Saroma. We have a lot of positive black people.
I mean, we got many young people who work with us with D-Town Farm, with the Detroit People's Food Corps, who are doing very positive things. And so we need to lift them up and make that the narrative. Instead of bashing young people all the time like they totally lost, because they're not. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Some old people are lost.
I understand. You're absolutely right, brother. You You're absolutely, I agree with you. I wasn't really trying to put it out like everybody was like that. But I do know that there's a great percentage of black children that are positive. Even my daughter, Biafra Mwezi, she was raised properly under the Gusasapa, and she's proper. But there's a lot of daughters there. But then the ones that aren't are seen to be the ones that, they generate on news media and make it look good.
But you look at,
of course,
that's what I call the propaganda.
It's a small number,
and I don't even focus
those are the
on
ones
that.
I'm trying to change, but I know there's a lot that are very positive, brother. And I work with Saroma also like you did, and I understand I've seen a lot of very positive black children. And I've had the opportunity to teach a few of them. So I can't say everyone's alike. I'm just saying that the domination of negativity is shown through the idiot box, and it's contagious through the idiot box. And that's
what
I'm
trying
to say.
We know that's designed to destroy us. We know that.
I know. I know a lot.
But also, what we need to do, when we see a light shining bright, we need to, you know, add fuel to it.
Add to it. Absolutely, bro.
Encourage that. And not be speaking, you know, so negative on our young people. Let's encourage them and feed them, you know, feed them positively, and especially those who are already trying to do something positive, which is many of them. And
I've learned,
I'll say myself, I'm 68 years old, and I've learned many things from people in their 20s and 30s who are much younger than me.
I'm
thankful to be in relationship with them.
I've ran into a lot of positive ones myself, brother, and I totally agree with you. And I understand what you mean about what I was saying is jumping on negative and not giving reference to the positive. And I appreciate you for grabbing me.
All right, thank you, brother. You know, I
love you too. Every day, you know that. And me and Miss Brother have been Ace Coons a long, long time. But you see, Beverly, what I mean about he's Saturn, he's Capricorn. He come right on the show checking. Well, that's nothing wrong with that, because Saturn is like the teacher of principles and rules. And I would not be a positive black man if I wasn't able to accept criticism with a smile on my face and understand he's correct and he's right. He's right. I have nothing against that. See, we have to learn how to take criticism on a positive light. I learned that with Dr. Kareem when I was 17 years old in the Simba Wachung and Us organization at 67. And we have to learn how to be checked. And I love him. Even what he said, if he didn't know I didn't love him. You see, but he know I'm ready to be checked. And I can understand how I jump on the negative and don't give enough degrees to the positive. But it's one of the hang-ups in me, because I'm a teacher and I want everything to be right. But it's not everything can't be right, because we have to use wrong to learn.
All right. And with that being said, Malik, tell the people what you're doing in Detroit. You are a superstar in Detroit.
Yeah, you are, bro.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. I'm not trying to be no superstar, none of that. I'm
trying to be a worthy
representative of my ancestors. And if I can contribute positively to my community, then I'll feel, you know, like my life has been a success. But I've been on the show several times the last several years talking about this cooperative grocery store that we're building, the Detroit People's Food Co-op. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I was talking about it. We're at the finish line now. So I can proudly say that the Detroit People's Food Co-op is going to open on May the 1st, on Wednesday, May the 1st. Those who are in Detroit, they should be there. The store is on the corner of Woodward and East Euclid at 8324 Woodward Avenue. And we want people to come out both on opening day, and also to come out and support the store on an ongoing basis. So building it is one thing, but then we have to sustain it. And to sustain it, we need the ongoing support of our community. We need people to come there every week or every other week and buy their groceries so that we have a good cash flow in the store. So we have the opening on May 1st, then we have the grand opening on May the 18th, on Saturday, May 18th. And that's the grand opening. We'll have bands, we'll have children's activities, we'll have ribbon cutting, we'll have speakers, all that kind of stuff, food. So that's the big thing that people really want to come out and celebrate this victory with us.
Great, great. Now, in your vegetables and things, you grow them yourself?
Well, we also run D-Town Farm, which is a 7-acre farm in Rouge Park in Detroit. And this year we're growing 20 different vegetables. We actually scale down. Usually we grow about 40 different. This year we're growing 20 most popular vegetables, and we're growing primarily to sell in the Detroit People's Food Co-op. So what we're doing is we're creating a closed-loop economy in the black community. Right now, Chaldeans and other ethnic groups coming to our community, open grocery stores and all kind of other businesses, suck that money out of our community, take it to their community. Malcolm X talked about this in 1963, and it's the exact same situation now. All these groups come to our community, suck the wealth out of our community, and then our children have to go beg them for jobs. So what we're doing is creating a closed-loop economy where we're growing the food, and not just our farm, but other black farms in Detroit as well. We're selling the food in the retail store. We're employing people from the community, and so we're circulating that money in the community instead of it just being extracted from us to benefit somebody else.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. And that'll stop a lot of, because a lot of people with the other stores, you know, like you were saying, a lot of the Chaldean stores, they were known for having the rotten meat, the old stuff, you know. And so you come there and get fresh.
Some are. Yeah, and, you know, I want to be clear. Yeah, not all Chaldean stores are selling rotten meat. Some are.
Right, right.
And some are. But even if they're selling good meat, even if they're selling stuff that's not expired, we should want to control the things in our own community. There's reason in the world why some other ethnic group should come into our community and own all the damn grocery stores. I can guarantee you that if you tried to set up a black-owned grocery store in a Chaldean neighborhood, you'd be out of business in 2 weeks because nobody else would allow another ethnic group to come in and take all the wealth from their community and leave, you know, just leave them dependent upon somebody else. So it's several things we're addressing. We're addressing the health, you know, making sure that we have high-quality food, but we're also addressing this pathetic economic situation that we find ourselves in as a people, where other people just come to our communities and just pimp us, you know, pimp us, take all the wealth, and then we left to go beg them for jobs. You know, it's time. We know what we need to do. We, you know, tumbling some of the Black Power movement in the 60s, that's, all this I'm talking about now was talked about then. We've known ever since then, we know since the time of Garvey that we need to do this. So it's not really knowing what to do, it's doing it. And so we're about the business of doing it.
Right. And yes, it is. And how people can contact you, too. Are you associated with others in other states, farmers?
Yeah, we are part of a network of black farmers and black cooperative food store developers across the country. It's called the National Black Food and Justice Alliance. And so people can go, we have a website for that, which is blackfoodjustice.org, blackfoodjustice.org for the National Black Food and Justice Alliance. If people want information on the cooperative grocery store that we're opening in Detroit on May 1st, they can go to DetroitPeoplesFoodCoop.com. Again, that's DetroitPeoplesFoodCoop.com, and you can join and become a member owner. That's the other thing about this store. It's not just the store owned by one or two individuals. It's owned by many community members. Right now we have close to 2,400 people who have either paid the whole $200 to become a member owner or are in the process of paying it. So it's a community-owned store. It's not owned by one individual. We're really pushing back against the individualism of capitalism and saying that the only way that we can make progress is by practicing collective working responsibility and cooperative economics.
That's true. Yes, yes. And so people, can you have it that they can do a payment plan or they can, like you said, pay the whole thing? That's excellent.
So you can pay the whole $200 in one WAP. Or you can get on a payment plan where you pay $20 a month for 10 months. Or we have scholarships for people who identify themselves as low income where they only have to pay $100, and we put the other $100 in out of a pot of money that's been donated to us by various people. And so we don't want to make the money an impediment or a barrier for people to join. So we have various payment plans. But at the same time, we're upholding the principle that you have to have some skin in the game. This is not charity. This is not like when, you know, food banks come in the community and give food away, that makes us even more dependent upon other people. We have to want to be liberated. And if you want to be liberated, you have to put some skin in the game. So we're not giving memberships to anybody. We'll give reduced membership, but you got to bring something to the table because you have to have some investment.
Excellent. Now, can anyone just come and use the, you know, come to the
Yeah, you don't have to be a member to shop at the store.
Okay.
No,
okay.
You don't have to be a member to shop at the store. There's some benefits that members will get that non-members won't get, but you don't. Anybody, it's open to anybody who wants to shop there.
Okay, okay. And are you going to have, like, health food products? I mean, like, you know, like a health food store, they can get some vitamins and things in there, too, or is this only food?
Yes. No, we'll have vitamins and things, too. We'll have all kind of health care items, home care items, body care items. It's a full grocery store. We'll also have a deli in the store, and we have a grab-and-go section where people can get salads and sandwiches and juices, all kinds of things. Then also on the second floor of the building, the organization I lead, the Detroit Black Community Food Sovereignty Network, is operating 4 shared-use kitchens that we're renting out to community entrepreneurs, so they have a licensed kitchen they can operate in so we can stimulate more black entrepreneurs, and especially in the food realm. And then we have a banquet hall, which is called the Mama Imani Humphrey Banquet Hall, named after one of my great teachers, Mama Imani, who ran Aisha Shule for many years. And so we want to keep her memory alive, and so we've named that hall after her. And we're working with her children to put up various images in the hall that represent her. So there's a lot going on in the building. You know, there's the grocery store, and also there's the things happening on the second floor.
And with the kitchen, that's people that has those food trucks can use those kitchen. Is that correct?
That is correct. Trucks need a place to prepare food, and they
right.
can be running kitchens out to various types of folks.
Okay.
People who have
excellent.
Food trucks, people who are caterers, people who might be making food in their kitchen on Sunday and selling dinners out of their kitchen, and they want to come into the overground economy, you know, they can rent a kitchen out and be able to do it there. People are producing things like maybe pickles or, you know, soups that they want to can and things like they can do all those things in these kitchens.
Excellent. Because I know some states, they recommend that, especially people who have food trucks, that you have to go to a commercial kitchen.
Right.
So
that's
I don't know how Michigan is. So that is really good. And so the plan is to have multiple supermarkets, the one on another side of town too.
Eventually, but we want to make this first one successful. And so, you know, we're not focused right now on trying to open multiple supermarkets. We're just focused on trying to get this one open and make it successful. Then once we have a model that's successful, we can replicate it in other places.
Okay. And so you're going to keep the farm going?
The farm will
continue to grow? And will people
still
be able to go to the farm and get things? Or they just go to the store and get it so they can go both places?
They can go both places. And our farm is called D-Town Farm, and it's located in Detroit on the far west side at 14027 West Otter Drive. We're open on Saturday and Sunday mornings for volunteers starting this Sunday. We open for the season this Sunday, and we would have opened on Saturday, but in honor of our sister Malaika in Sotoma, her memorial service is this Sunday. That's Chungalia's good sister, too, by the way. And so in honor of her, we're not going to open on Saturday so we can go to her memorial service, and then we're opening the farm this Sunday. Every Saturday and Sunday after that, people are welcome to come to our farm and volunteer and see how we do what we do between 8 a.m. and noon.
Okay, 8 and noon is when you're open. Okay, all right. Yeah, because, I mean, when I go to the supermarket, I is eating oranges with no juice, cucumbers that's dry like cardboard. You know, it's not like it used to be. With all this artificial food going on here. So that's excellent. And also, I see you on YouTube. You play a mean guitar.
Oh,
what's the name
thank
of
you.
Your band?
And my band is called Mollywop, and we'll probably be playing at the opening on May 18th. They've asked us to play. We haven't finalized the details, so I can't say 100% sure, with 100% certainty that that's going to happen. But more than likely, we'll be playing at the opening on May, the grand opening on May 18th of the Detroit People's Food Co-op.
Excellent, excellent.
We got any time, Malik? Yeah, I was going to ask Malik on the food co-op day on the 18th. Is there any time span? With what time span is that?
We haven't nailed it down, but it's probably going to start at 11 and go until about 4 or 5, and then we're going to have an event that night, which will be a jazz concert that we're going to charge for. All the other activities will be free, but that night we're going to charge for a jazz concert, and it'll be a fundraiser for the food co-op.
Good, good, good. And that will be the grand opening.
That's right.
And it's going to be on what day of the week?
That's a Saturday, May 19th, day before Malcolm X's birthday.
Malcolm X's birthday is that Sunday?
That 19th, yeah.
Next Sunday.
So
it'll be open that Sunday, though, right?
Yeah, the store. The store opens on May 1st. You can walk in as of May 1st and buy things every day after that. But the grand opening with the big celebration is May 18th.
That's okay. All right.
Yeah.
So May the 1st.
They will be celebrating Malcolm X's birthday the next day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you know, would that be there, too? We know anywhere there will be Malcolm X celebrations?
I'm not sure. You know, I talked to G-Mac today, and he mentioned something about a celebration. I don't know if they're planning something in Okeewa Lion Village or not.
Mm-hmm. I'll check. Yeah, thank you. Well, brother, you know, I'm real proud of you, and you've made a lot of dynamic progress with the store. And we couldn't expect nothing less than the best from you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Chungalier. I've had good teachers. I listen to my elders. How about that?
Well, you know, I've been really impressed with you, especially with Inseroma, the school. You know, you really showed us a lot with Inseroma. How long was Inseroma Institute existing? From what year to what year?
From 1989 to 2013.
And how many years is that?
I think it's 24.
Wow. You know, and the alumni from Inseroma is outrageous. The kids come, it's so wonderful to see them kids coming back to Kwanzaa celebration at the museum from the alumni from the school, you know, and it shows how powerful the school was, that when you create an alumni coming out of college to give thanks for that school, it shows how well it did, you know.
You know, we had a meeting on Saturday, our annual meeting for the co-op, where we had about 200 people show up, and the meeting was hosted or chaired by a young sister who was a graduate of the Inseroma Institute. And then I just found out today a young brother who graduated from Aisha Shule is hired in the prepared foods department in the co-op. So some of those young people that we've been training up, again, they're not all lost. Some of them are still on track. Some of them are involved in this project. And I'm so happy to see these people coming around, these young people coming around what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, most of the young ones I see in the college community come from Inseroma. You know, Inseroma made a big imprint on the college community in Detroit based on the education of our children. And it's real positive. That's why I know there are very, very a lot group of positive children. And there are also a million group of negative ones, but they'll learn in time from the positive. We just keep stimulating the positive.
And my granddaughter, she went to Inseroma, and she just came back from, she managed the food for the athletes. So she travels all over the world. With the athletes, and so she's one of the Inseromas. So you did an excellent job.
Hey, dude.
Beautiful.
My daughter, Biafra, Wages, she went to Mommy Monty's first at Shule years ago. Biafra's 50 years old, though, you know, so she started up back in the early 70s with Mommy Monty Humphreys. I think it was like 75 or 76 with Mommy Monty Humphreys first at Shule's. And so the Shule's have been around Detroit a long time, And I'm proud of you and grateful that you put in Mommy Monty's name somewhere in this progress that we're making. That made me chill my heart when I heard that, brother. Santi, silent to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a key to.
And that's all good in the hood. You know, we're taking the elders to golden places with us, especially ones like her that was a foundation to a lot of education for our children.
Mm-hmm. Now, we stand on her shoulders and the shoulders of many other elders. And, you know, and we need to honor them, you know. We need to honor, and we, I agree with you. We need to listen to our elders, and the elders need to listen to young people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both
yeah.
of them. If we do that, the circle will be complete.
Well,
is there any more schooling Afrocentric like in Saroma still around, or do you plan on doing any more teaching or schooling?
Yeah, I'm trying to get our school revived, but I've been so focused on getting this grocery store up and running that I haven't been able to really put much time and energy into that. We've been able to keep our annual Kwanzaa ceremony going on, and a lot of the alumni come out to that, but we have the goal of somehow reestablishing that school. So I'm never giving up on that.
Okay, but it's really needed more so than ever. A lot of people are pulling their children out of public schools. So, you know, the schools you had would be perfect, would be at this time.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing is, often we think in our community somebody else is going to come in and do something for us. And we have to develop a much more do-for-self mentality among ourselves.
Yeah.
Even with this co-op, a lot of people, you know, they see us do it. They've been watching us do this for years, but they haven't stepped in to contribute. We have to start seeing our own liberation as being our responsibility and not thinking that somebody else is going to build the institutions we need. We all need to jump in and play a role in this. That's the only way we're going to get to where we're trying to get to, which for me, is black people being free, independent, being able to make decisions on our own, being self-determining, and not being dominated by white people, Chaldeans, Asians, or the United States government. None of those. We need to be determining our own destiny, and we need to step up to the plate and take hold of things and not wait for other people to come in, you know, and think I'm supposed to, you know, start a grocery store, some other so-called leader is supposed to do it. Each one of us has to take a hold of things and play a role, you know, and contribute to our own liberation. The problem is most of us ain't trying to be free. As my elder Kwame Adi used to say all the time, we're not trying to build on the nation. We're trying to crawl back on the plantation. And so this is the problem. We need to develop a nationalistic consciousness in our people so we see ourselves as a people and see ourselves as having the responsibility to reform ourselves, to refine our character, and to liberate our community so that people are not coming in and extracting all the wealth from us and we're left with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're doing it.
Yeah. We've heard from the king. Appreciate you, Capricorn. Really do.
So I'll just say before I leave, again, Detroit People's Food Co-op, .com.
Okay.
You know, if you're interested in joining, becoming a member owner of the of this dynamic new grocery store that's opening on May 1st. And then, again, keep the dates in mind. May 1st is when the doors open. People can shop every day after that. We'll be open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. And also keep in mind May 18th, which is the grand opening with all the big celebrations and food and children's activities and bands. And all of that. So keep those dates in mind.
And
so
also,
May 18th will be an all-day program, right?
Yep.
From 8 to 8?
No, the program on the 18th will be from about 11 until 4 or 5.
Good, okay.
And then we'll have the evening concert. And we haven't set the exact time, but it'll probably start about 7 or so. And we'll have that, that's a paid event, again, which is a fundraiser for the co-op.
And that should go on for a couple of hours, maybe from like 8 to like 10 or 11, something like that.
Something like that.
That's all good. That's all day from considering both of them. That's good. That's good, bro. That's real. I'm real, real happy.
Do you have a phone number for just people who's not on the Internet that's listening on their phone?
Yeah, we do. People can call us at 313-345-3663. Again, 313-345-3663.
Excellent. All right. Well, we definitely appreciate you, Malik.
All right. Appreciate
and
the opportunity
appreciate
again.
The work you're doing. And keep
appreciate
it up.
You,
looking
Sister
forward
Beverly
for schools to open.
Thank you, Sister Beverly.
And
Baba Chung Lee, I love you.
I love you
love
too, my
you.
Brother. You be strong. Love
thank
you forever
you.
And a day. And what we do without you. Thank you, my brother, for being you.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank
y'all
you.
Enjoy
better
the rest
love.
Of
you. Okay.
Vibrations. One love.
Okay, now tell us about our next guest. I see our three.
Oh, here we
that's
come. Brothers is going to Africa. Highly.
Well, no, this is the 3-1. Who? Well, let me see. We're Holly yet. I see the 3-1.
Well, Holly. You don't see Holly area code on there?
I see an area code. Let me see if this him is not the number I have. Let me see. Okay. Let's see. Hold on.
I have it in front
it's,
of me.
Is this Holly? 262.
Yes, sound like it's number 262. Let me check my.
That's
list.
The area code.
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's 262.
But this is Holly. Is it 262-833?
I think so. I'm not looking at it from my sister. I thought you.
Well,
had
it's not. I do, but it's that's not what you gave me.
Well, hold on one second. I have his number, but it's not written down on me. I think that's the area code in, though, what you just said.
But it's no answer. They're not answering.
It's, okay, well, what about...
let me do it. Let me ask again. They might have a... let me see if they got their mute on. Let me see.
Okay.
262-833. Is this Holly Israel? Is... Okay. No answer. Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, sister. I'm still here.
Okay, so I see the 313 number.
Well, then, that's probably Alfonso.
Okay. And so I don't know. Okay, let me open up this one. Now tell us, let's see. Alfonso, good evening.
Yes.
Great to have
good
you
evening.
With us.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank my brother, Chungalia. And
vibrations, brother.
Vibrations.
This is Beverly, this
yes.
is my buddy, Alfonso. And Alfonso is the brother I was telling you about. This making a move to Ghana. He's been over there several
okay.
times. He's teaching Africans
okay.
how to plumb because he's a master plumber. And this brother's been a friend of mine since 1969. We've been like brothers from another
okay.
mother. And when I first came in from L.A., my homies from L.A. introduced me to him. And through him, I've met most of the people I know in Detroit have came through him. And he's making a move to Africa. He's been over there several times. He's, had relationship with Bob Malik's cousin in Ghana. And he's older than me, and he's a racquetball star. And I'm jealous of him. He's a healthy, strong black man that's trying to go over to Africa and get away from the pressures here and teach Africans how to be master plumbers like he is. But Alfonso Pugh?
I would like you to
tell us more about your venture. What we're interested in, you and Holly, will come soon, I'm sure. We're going to talk about the possibilities of black people here moving to Africa and the things that they may have to go through in their moving to Africa, more than just the first step is get your passport. And from that point on, how is the journey? What are the pros and cons about the journey for for a black citizen here to say, I'm getting a passport going to Africa. What else do they need to know to do that, make it, for it to be positive?
Well, let me say this, and thank you. If you've never been, the first trip to the continent, when you get off the plane, the DNA in your body will tell you that you're at home. So there's other things to experience that you can't experience here until you go home. And the possibilities of who we are, the culture, all these things become very clear. And we are actually, we're the chosen ones. The world is waiting on us. It's one love, one Africa, one Africans. But the making the journey, it's about a 9-hour flight. You'll be welcome in the motherland. The majority of the people look like me and you. And then with me being a master plumber, there's great opportunities there. And I just highly suggest that everyone takes at some time in their life, go to the motherland. And like earlier, there was a conversation, and Malik had brought it up in regards to community economics or cooperative economics. There, even though they don't have the structure, the infrastructure that we have here, it is a perfect example of a need for cooperative economics and things. We are conditioned, as you had spoke of earlier, our conditioning here in America, and our conditioning here in America is based on I, my, and me, and opposed to going home to the motherland, and the culture is a we and a us. And these are some of the things that you will experience going to the motherland. Because there's so much opportunity there, it's really important that you go and see where you can get in, where you can fit in. Things aren't like they are here, and one needs to be prepared for the difference of life and lifestyle. I highly suggest everyone go so that you can find yourself. But then, as I said before, we are the chosen ones. And it's time that we realize that. But I'm also, Beverly, I'm an author. I have a book that's on Amazon, and I'm having an app written for it now where I point out the positive attributes of a person's name. And I'm going after our children, which is our future. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that every teacher in the world, every person in the world need to know the positive attributes of their children so that they can nurture, inspire, and support those positive attributes so that that child can grow up having more confidence and greater self-esteem. And as we have said, our children are our future. And it's time that we take responsibility of our own ownership and provide these things for our children. So my target market, I'm going after teachers, counselors, and school administrators in regards to these things. In fact, Beverly, I have an example of your name, Beverly. That B in your name, if I had your email address, I can send it to you so you can see it for yourself and things.
Okay.
But the B in your name, which is the first letter, says of you that you are a peacemaker. Arbitration, mm-hmm. mediation, negotiations, you're excellent at. And you also, you have this ability whether you realize it or not, you're an illuminator. And you might ask a question, well, what is an illuminator? An illuminator is one who brings light to darkness. And this is, Beverly, who you are and what you do. You bring light to darkness. And this, and me being here, it is a perfect example of your desire to bring light to darkness. And you have this ability to bring light to darkness to the world. And this is just from the first letter of the name. And it's a number of things that, you know, Chungalia and Malik had talked about in regards to our consciousness and where we need to be at. But Africa is waiting on us to come home. And
that's
we
good.
Need to leave this American, European mentality, spirituality, and concept here and go home and develop our own. It's time we define our own.
I really appreciate that kind of attitude, Beverly, because what he's talking about is a renewed human inside of all of us. And I did talk to Holly, Beverly, and he's on air now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's waiting on you.
Okay, but okay, all right. But I want to know the name of your book. You say it's on Amazon.
The name of the book is Your Name Really Matters.
Okay.
The perception is your perception is your reality.
Vibes don't lie. That's absolutely a fact.
Okay.
So how you think is how it is. So
exactly.
Now, I'm not the first one to say this, but to know thyself is to know God. So I'm just silly enough to ask you who you are. And it's only one answer. But because of, and I'm not trying to put down different religions and things, but religions sort of divide. So you are the God of Beverly. Now, I know you're not the creator of all things, but you're the God of Beverly.
That's true.
And so we always, and the way we were conditioned, we always look outside of ourselves in opposed to looking within ourselves and take responsibility. We're the creators. We're the creators. And it's time we assume our role and make Africa, as they say, what's his name, Trump, make America great. No, it is about making Africa great again. And we're the ones.
Absolutely.
When we wake up and unite with our brothers on the continent. Because the whole world's minerals and things is contained on that continent.
Well, that's divine nature, bro, you're speaking about in reality. You know, Beverly, this brother.
Okay.
Is Holly there yet?
Yes, he's here.
I was going to say something about Alfonso. He's a brother. This meant a whole lot to me. I met him when I was just getting here in 69, and he came from homies that I grew up with in L.A., and me and him have been brothers ever since then, and he's been a very genius human being. His book is phenomenal. I would suggest that people hurry up and get it if you want to know about self just through the tonal patterns of your name. Because your name, you've been called all your life, and it's created an electrode system in your subconscious mind or memory, and it actually dictates control and stuff and your personality and all of this. Brother, I've seen him read people, and it's amazing how he reads people. You know, he met Hailey on my phone here less than a month ago, and I suggested that he join this show tonight with Hailey, because Hailey's in process of moving to Africa also. Although Gordon Alfonso has made a big jump of going over there. How many times have you been over there so far, brother? Four or five times, maybe more than that? In the last year? in the last year or two, he's been there several times, and he's making his home there, and that's a wonderful thing for me to watch an elder like him do that. You know, and he's been such an idol of mine. He's also a racquetball champ with trophies at his age. You know, it's amazing. But he's a very strong-minded Leo. Is it time for Holly to come on?
He's here.
How are you doing, Holly?
Greetings, Holly.
Greetings, family. Greetings, family.
Great to have you.
Hey, brother love.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Everything's blessed. Giving thanks, man.
All right, cuz.
Yeah, I love hearing that knowledge spread, man. That's great, man. This brother's shining a lot of light on people. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Well, my goal is to be able to touch as many as I can. And especially in our school systems and in our children. They need to know who they are and their positive attributes. And we, as their parents, as their elders and things, we need to nurture and inspire and support these positive attributes. So that's my goal. And as soon as I get this app together, which is in the process of being finalized. And Beverly, if I had your email address, I could send it to you now.
Okay, it's Beverly.
Okay.
2440. 2440. At hotmail.com. I still got Hotmail.
Oh, okay. Hotmail, okay. Well, I will be sending this over to you
okay.
Right away here.
All right.
And this is an example of what I do in regards to name analysis or pointing out the positive attributes of your name or a person's name.
Okay. It hasn't came through yet. It'll come through.
No, I'm putting this together now.
Okay. All right.
I'm typing it in right now.
Okay.
So I can send this to you. 2440 Hotmail.
Mm-hmm. And I have your number. I can contact you after the show.
Okay. Well, you're gonna get this now.
Okay.
Yes, you're gonna get this now. Your name.
And while he's doing that, Holly, have you been over to, I heard that you're doing some kind of benefit or something at the end of this month. What day is that?
We're actually, it's a tribute. I'm doing a George Benson tribute.
A tribute?
Yeah, tribute to George Benson's music. That's in Washington, D.C. on April 27th.
Oh, it's April.
Yeah.
27.
Yeah, April. Yeah.
Hey, I got pins in D.C. I'll make sure they see that, Hiley.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a film too. It should be videotaped, and I'll make sure I can get you a copy of it somewhere.
Okay, my brother. You know, what I was really interested in hearing you give us a little information on what you tell me about a lot, and that is the difference in living in two season place as opposed to a four season place. You understand the information you've been giving me in that respect? I was hoping you would vibrate to that a little bit, because you know, going back home to the motherland, to me should be important. But even as I say this, I haven't made my mind up that I'm running over there right away. It takes time for a person to see their life and say, I'm going to Africa, and to make it happen is a whole other thing. But we all need to be thinking about supporting Mother Africa, because Mother Africa has been getting raped by all over the world for millions of years, and we ain't doing nothing about it. And we need to claim that as a responsibility. If we're saying we're Afro-American people, why we ain't supporting Mother Africa? I named my daughter Biafra because of the year 69 when it was slaughtering, Nigerian and the British were slaughtering the Biafrians. And, cause I want, and that's why one of the reasons why I gave her that name, so we can remember that Biafra, Kush, and Punt were some of the first places in Africa. And they have great history. And if we don't restore that, why are we over here talking about we're black this, black that, and black nationalist this, and black this, that, and the other, but we're not doing nothing about Africa continuing to get raped through decades and decades and decades? Ivory Coast won't even be any valuable anymore the way it's stripping the Ivory Coast and stealing from us, and we ain't over there protecting Mother Africa.
What I would say, because realistically, a lot of us can't afford financially to go to Africa right now, and a lot of us aren't really ready mentally or spiritually to go to Africa. But what I would say, and I have to even join the great elder Dr. Sebi, who's in the ancestor world right now, what we need to focus on even while we're over here is African food and African herbs, the things that we consumed that gave us the melanin content that we had, the things that give us this unique spirituality that we had, has everything to do with the food we eat and the way we address our brothers and sisters. Right off the bat, just as black people, we cuss at each other a lot, and cusses is the opposite of blessing. We don't come from a society that does that. We learned that from the European, that Englishman, what he called longshoreman language. He's got to have a four-letter word as an adjective to almost everything he says, and then we've picked that up, being in a ghetto and a impoverished culture. So that would be the first thing, to try and speak more light, speak more positive, eat more positive. We eat a lot of dead food, a lot of processed food, a lot of food that's from the Europeans' diet that has nothing to do with Africans. We ate a lot of greens and a lot of fruits and a lot of nuts, natural things. So I think before we actually physically go back to Africa, we can all do that with our consciousness just by eating good African food, dealing with African way of healing. A lot of us will deal with Ayurvedic medicine or even traditional Western medicine. That's not compatible with the African chemistry, with the body that we're dealing with. So that would be my first suggestion, realistically, because as I said, everybody cannot physically and financially afford to go back to Africa right now. But we can control what we go and buy at the grocery store. We can control the words that come out of our mouth, how we bless our people, how we curse our people. So that would be the first thing and the most important thing that I would say at this point.
Well, I certainly agree with you, brother. I certainly agree. It's how we conduct and we deal with each other.
Yes,
which
sir.
Is also relative to how we deal and think of ourselves.
Exactly.
But I try to eat, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, I try to eat living foods. Nothing dead.
That's the key.
And that's one of the beautiful things that I found on the continent, is that food is grown for nourishment on the continent, whereas food here in America is grown for profit.
And, exactly.
And the concept, and our health is dependent upon it. What
exactly.
We put in our mouth.
Yeah, a lot of the food that we get here, bioengineered, you know, it's factory food. As we know, Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland because he wants to produce GMO food, food without seeds. And this food is another drug, the way they're looking at it. It has nothing to do with feeding our spirit, our soul, our pineal gland. As you might know, the calcification of the pineal gland is because of all the fluoride that they're putting in the water and all the chemicals that they're putting in the food. And it makes us not able to perceive the heights of something that Chungalier would be very familiar with, our cosmic reality. We need to have a clear, clean pineal gland. And it all has to do with the things that we consume, and then that's going to be relative to the things that we say and the things that we do. So thank you, my brother, for echoing that. It's very important that we look at trying to be plant-based, natural foods, good water. People know about H2O, but H3O is the water that comes from fruits and juices.
Comes from the fruit.
That's what we really mean. Exactly. We touched on that young brother, Biaki Awakened, a while ago. That young brother's on top of it. And he's like
a
messiah for the young generation. But we need people like that, 19 Keys and them young brothers from St. Louis. We need brothers like that to spread their knowledge and their wisdom and together with these younger generation. Because a lot of them think we don't know what we're talking about. See, and Yaki would tell you himself, he spin off of Dr. Sebi. He healed himself listening to Dr.
Right.
Sebi. And now he's a millionaire now, healing millions of people with his product. So we got to really think about what we're putting in our body, and that's going to determine what's coming out of us. You know?
Yeah, that brother you're talking about, I saw him on YouTube with, with Billy Carson. He's really on a genius talking about parts of the body and what you eat to heal parts of the body. Oh, I listen to him. He is really. He's on YouTube with Billy Carson, and he's off the chain good.
He's a young genius, man. That's the word for it.
Yeah, I know he really is. You see, some of our minds have that ability because we are the souls that have reincarnated and reincarnated to this point. And he's an old soul because this guy looks like a young rapper, but he talks like he's a twin to Dr. Sebi. I mean, he's consumed so much information about what to put in your mouth to heal various parts of your body. He goes through the anatomy of the body like he's making himself at home talking about all parts of your body.
It's
amazing to listen to him talk.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. He knows how the body processes food. He knows how to deep and eliminate. He tell you we got over 15 trillion cells in your body, and you got to be able to govern and take care of every one of them. They all have
a combination. Who is this?
Yeah, this is his name is Yaki.
Yaki Awakening.
Yaki Awakening.
Wait,
he's on YouTube with Dr. Sebi. He's on YouTube.
How you spelled it again?
K-I.
One person at a time, please. Repeat it. One person at a time, please.
Okay.
Repeat it, somebody.
Y-A-H-K-I. Yaki.
Okay.
Y-A-H-K-I. He comes from the Hebrew Israelite family. His full name is Yaki Raphael Elohim. Rafi Elohim, okay, which means a healer, the God healer.
And I'm noticing that there's a lot of young people that's on the internet that's very knowledgeable. For instance, are you familiar with the red pill and the blue pill and their younger brother?
Yeah, I've heard
He grew up with Dr. Sebi. And he's very knowledgeable, too. So we got a lot. And that's what I do. I listen to a lot of the younger people, and I'm learning a lot from them. So, they're catching on good. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're what they call the woke movement. See, there's a thing with these young people. They call themselves woke, awakened, exactly. And what's happening now, what we need to know, is that the United Nations has declared war on these woke young brothers. They call it conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And
they
just don't want these young people to pick up on what's going on.
But they can't stop it.
The red pill and the blue pill, that's a spinoff from that Matrix movie. Mm-hmm. And they know also that we are in a computer-type matrix. Everybody's on their phone. Everybody's on their computer. Nobody's really using their mental faculties the way we used to maybe just 15 or 20 years ago. So it's like the system is forcing us all into a type of matrix. Yeah.
Beverly, excuse me. Check your email.
I did. I'm looking at it.
You're looking at it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Highly. It's like the third eye of Haru is opening up in our youth more than normal because we ain't seeing youngsters coming up like him often. But it's the third eye of Haru. It's the soul within is coming. Because, see, we all are reincarnations from other lifetimes. And some of these old souls are inside the young bodies and bringing this information out for the reality, for us in the reality to see. We're all being taught by each other.
You know, yeah, that's what's happening.
We're all being taught by each other. And all our souls, our old souls, coming to meet again in this lifetime. And to see a young guy like him pop up like that, wow, when you look at him, you think he's a rapper. But, man, the stuff he's rapping about is what to put in and what to put in your mouth to heal parts of your body. And he's good.
And also, this is an 8-year. Two, four. So, and the eight is about big business, economics and things. Mm-hmm. And so it's about being aware of what time it is now. And so, and that comes back to your perspective is your reality. Because like, you know, the material in my book is based on mathematics. And one thing about mathematics, if I was to say that 2 + 3 would equal 5 in addition, we all would agree. But if I also ask you about money, love, sex, or child rearing, it becomes subjective and we each will have a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. So the demonstration is that mathematics brings us into agreement. When it brings us into agreement, it brings us into harmony and rhythm. A oneness. And these are the kinds of things that we need to be about is this oneness. I usually sign off and things, one love, one Africa, and even more importantly, one African. That's the way it needs to be.
Well,
that's
the key word, the key she said, Beverly, is eight. Remember, eight turns sideways. Is a sign of infinity. See, it is the year that we're in. It adds up to eight, and eight's about, like his brother said, business, money, and deep insights. But on the other tip, we're talking about humanity, and if you turn that eight sideways, you got the sign of infinity. Remember, I was saying earlier, Beverly, when we started about the numbers and the signs, and to astrology, and what the eighth house has is the only. One is ruled by Mars, Mercury, and Pluto, because eight, if you turn it sideways, you got the sign of infinity, the way into life and the way out of life. And that's what we're going through right now in this 8-year. We're going through the eighth house, but the eighth house is two circles. 360 degrees becomes 720. Seven more, if you turn it sideways, you got the sign of infinity, life and death. You know, and that's why eight is such a powerful number. It's only one out of 12 in the zodiac that's ruled by three planets, Mars, Mercury, and Pluto.
My message for the eight is this year, if you might hesitate, go for all things of growth, go for all things of business for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time, so that you're on time with time. This is the 8-year, and then it's also a dragon year.
And
yeah.
Chinese,
yep.
This is a wood dragon.
And then you know what? There's also something very significant that's going to happen on 4-8, April 8th this year, if y'all know about it.
There's
a big solar eclipse.
Yeah.
And that happens to come on the 8th of April as well.
What you think going to happen, bro?
There's a huge solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse.
Yeah.
That's exact 7 years after the first lunar eclipse. It came straight across America from northwest to southeast. This one's coming from southwest to northeast, and they're going to make a cross at a place called Little Egypt in southern Illinois. So there's a lot of things that's going to be revealed in this year, these times. As you know, Cat Williams had an interview at the very beginning of the year. He's spilling the beans on all them demons out there in Hollywood. This is a real revelation year. You know, the sun has been going crazy. It's trying to turn us all into, for lack of a better word, super niggas. we're about to inherit some cosmic energy that's going to really be, it's going to be a big threat to the European. Bill Gates is spending billions of dollars trying to block out the sunlight with all these chemtrails and all those things, because they know that the black man, the black woman, all indigenous people are going to get a shot of solar energy that is going to turn us into some real divine people. So we need to be ready to receive that.
Yes.
Yeah. Good and bad here. We hit the griddle.
Yeah.
And in your perception, you have to also, back to my subtitle of the book, your perception is your reality. So when you are aware, be aware, and then be responsible for your awareness.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. It's our time.
And I have someone else that wants to join the mound. We're on the mound table, as I call it. And he is he's an indigenous brother from here. Kwame, thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Sister Bev and Hotep and Better Love. And
Better Love.
One Love.
The other two brothers.
Brother Kwame.
You know, and it's a pleasure to hear, you know, the elders' wisdom being shared, because usually we have the younger up under us generation speaking. But, you know, it's time for us to come to that kitchen table university, because we got more time on the planet. And I'm grateful to hear my brother Fonso is Ghana, you know, and he was saying your name, Beverly, and I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But at first I thought, if you've been to Ghana, you know that all the people there have day names.
Right.
Whatever day you came on the planet, that is your first name. Like Kwame is me, because I was born on Saturday. And being the
I'm Yah on Thursday.
I'm Kwame.
Right. Right, and what we have is that we have our person. We have part of who we come to be. Kwame's a defender of past, one who brings peace to troubled water. And so these were the ways in which our ancestors knew to give us our identity. And then the names of your family name is always comes from your mother's side. It's not the father's side, like here. And so it's a passage that I had done to live in Chicago. And Dr. Anthony Menza was a Fonte. He was, and he taught the Hon Hom, the breath of life, and those initiations. And even we use in Dinkra symbol that you have, like ours was, our initiate group was Jinyame. And I go to Ghana and I find a house that has the Jinyame symbol on their house or their business. They have to give me courtesy for being born with that sign. And you have that with those people born under your sign. It's like in Zodiac. Mm-hmm. But it has all of these traditions, because I remember when Dr. Clark, you know, you selection where we were here in Atlanta, and he used to always tell us with Kwame Nkrumah, and he was there in the streets when Kwame became president. But when he was coming to his lectures, and so he put him to work there. So you're looking at a whole history, because in Tanzania, Julius Nyerere says, and the brother was talking about the schools and our children doing making the business. Julius Nyerere said when he first became president, he says, whosoever educates your children controls your world. And if that is a true effect. And the other part that you said by our elders was that the African here in America is the key to freeing Africa there. Because we in this country under this world capitalist people here, and we are the key to freeing what's going on there. You know, and all of us wasn't, you know, we at one time in the millions of years ago before the Great Divide, this was all here. But then it divided and half was left over here and half stayed on the continent. But the human species, the Homo sapiens sapien, which their science and biology and DNA genetics have proved that the original human comes from that little man, woman and man called pygmies in South Africa, and we migrated out of that and crossed the planet. So it's good to hear elders speaking in things that we need to be. And I love what he said, that he said his passion was a master plumber. I have a cousin, she lives in Arizona. And what she did was is she went to prison for dealing with crack and back in the era days, but she went into a program, and she got into a program learning how to be a plumber. She's working there where they're building the Taiwan fiber optics microchip plant. She's a master plumber walking around with blueprints and a coffee cup.
Yeah.
Telling them people that don't look like her what to do and how to do it. So it's good to have that. And this is what we have to come back to. Those professions that we were masters at, now we are having to join their union, and even if you can get into the union.
Right.
Go ahead. So what part of Africa that you're going into, Ahali? Is it Ghana?
I was looking at Ghana and also Rwanda. I have a good friend in Rwanda and Kenya as well. I haven't decided totally because my main livelihood once I get there was, of course, in music and education. And Rwanda seems to be more receptive to that. I have a good brother named Heru who has a product, a very powerful health food product, the olive leaf extract. And Rwanda, Kigali, is one of the fastest growing powerful cities in Africa right now.
And, one of the cleanest in the world.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, my brother. And it's very receptive for us Black American people to go over there and carry our business over there. So, of course, my grandmother's from Ghana. She's from the Direk Ashanti tribe. So I would eventually have to pilgrimage to Ghana anyway. But my livelihood might end up in Rwanda, to be honest.
And what about you, Alfonso? What part you going to be at?
Well, I'll be in Tamale, in northern Ghana. There's a project there that's going on, and the chief has given this group I'm involved with 10 acres of land, and we're going to build a subdivision of 62 homes. And also a factory for shea butter and cocoa and things. But I have some acquaintances in just about all over Africa. But my connects when I first went to the continent was, or the second time I went to the continent, is in Ghana. And so I have these connects, and that's where I'll plant my seed. But then I plan to expand. My people are from the Kota tribe of Gabon, and I've never been to Gabon and things, but I plan to go. But I plan to train. So in any installation, your installers need to understand a plumbing system and things, and read blueprints from scratch. They do things differently than we do here. And so that's my objective, is to train and teach when I go. So Ghana will be my initial place of going, in opposed to other countries. Even though Tanzania, Kenya, I've been to Ethiopia, but that's where I have my connect. So I'll start there first.
And I was just looking at a person on YouTube last night that he building a whole waterfront of homes,
yes,
and things like that. And he went over there. He said he didn't have any money. He sold a car or something and made some connections, and now he got a whole riverfront that he's building. So what are some of the things that people should be looking for? I know, like Chungalia say, the pros and the cons, you know, how?
In my opinion, it depends on what you're good at. So, and that's why you need to go, in my suggestion, you need to go and take a look. It's hard to talk about swimming and you haven't gotten in the pool. You got to get in the water.
Exactly.
So once you get in the water and once you go see, then you can see where you can get in, where you can fit in. And it is a lot of things that are there. I mean, like opportunities for generational wealth. I mean, like and things that can happen there. And I highly suggest folks get their passports. They get their yellow fever shot and then go see for themselves. And once you go, it will change your life, and it will be possibly for many, it'll be, this is where I belong, and this is actually where we do belong. We've been so far away from our culture and things. And so when I first went, it was in Dakar, Senegal, and the first day I got there, I went to the ocean. I had on, because the weather's warm, had on my shorts, and I walked as far as I could out in the ocean, and I splashed myself with that water to wash America off of me, because I wanted to be open like a child and receptive to learn and to grow. But I had baggage, and America, that's what I, my objective was wash that baggage in America off of me so that I can be receptive to learning and my spirit can grow. We're melanated people. We need to be in the sun. Here, I'm in Michigan, and I'm indoors the majority of the time. I need to be out in the sun. You know, and this is one of the reasons why I'm headed home, you know. And then there's peace. And at this point in my life, I prefer to live in peace.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, Chungalia can tell you, I talk to him all the time about us being a two-season people as opposed to being trapped in a four-season land. It's very important that we feed on that sunlight, you know, our entire body, our skin, our brain, our hairs, everything. Sunlight is food for us. It's energy, and we need that.
Yeah, but he's talking to me, when he was talking about going to the ocean, he ain't talking about nothing but salt water. See, and salt water is where we should be relating to. I notice if you ever taste your sweat, when you're sweating, it tastes salty because we come from seaweed. See, every sign in the zodiac has a certain seaweed that it relates to. That's why the planet is 80% water. You know, our bodies are 80% water, and because we come from the seaweed, in a certain, every sign has a seaweed they relate to, and that's in, and that.
Chungalia.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on 1 minute. I just want to tell the listeners that in 5 minutes we're going to be going off the internet, and we will be. You can hear the rest of the show on the phone. And the number to call in is 323-642-1586. And if you have a question or a comment, push number 1. Okay, go ahead, Chungalia.
Okay, thank you, babe. You know, that was just relating, that's all I really had to say, I was relating to the factor of what Alfonso was saying, you know, go to the sea. And get the sea into your skin and into your vibration, because that's where we come from. Seaweed. Every astrological sign has a certain seaweed that they relate to, because 80% of us is water, 80% of the earth is water. So we need to come from that perspective that he said come from. Go to the ocean there, wherever you go out of this country to live. Go to the ocean and cleanse America off for you, and then go into wherever you're at to learn what they're about. You'll be more in tune with their aura and their magnetism, and you'll relate better when you have their ocean all over you.
Yeah, I agree. Every time I go to the Caribbean, that's the first thing I do on my way from the airport. If I'm going to St. Thomas or St. John, I get right in the ocean. If I'm going to Jamaica, as soon as I reach Ocho Rios, I'm jumping in the water before I even go home.
Being that I'm from California, I'm used to the salt water. I don't know if people here in Detroit are much accustomed to salt water. I had a case of athlete's feet in my childhood, and all I would have to do is go out to that beach and put my feet in that sand and that salt water, and athlete's feet would clear up in a matter of hours, not days, because of that salt water on my feet.
That's true.
And then we're supposed to walk Earth. Excuse me. We're supposed to walk Earth barefooted because there's electrical energy that come out of Earth that is in our bodies that recharge us. Walking barefooted. We walk around in shoes.
Yeah. covering up our organs is the connection with the universe, which is in the bottom of our feet.
Yes. And so with me, I'm about solutions. And this is what I can do, as much as I can do, and touch as many as I can to help the solution. And the solution is one Africa, one Africans. And we need to be aware of this. And whether those are aware of it or not, I'm not responsible for them. But then, in a sense, I am. But this is what I can do. And my goal, like I said, is just to touch as many as I can.
Now, how do the people respond to you being American? You know, these are two different cultures. What kind of response do you get?
So you have to expect that everybody want to come to America, so therefore they look at us as soon as we open our mouth as a dollar sign. So something that might cost 5 CDs, as soon as you open your mouth, might cost 9. And so you have to expect that. So it's important then that you find someone who is local, who then can speak for you in their language and things, and even negotiate for you. So these are some of the things that you have to expect. Things move slower. Where here in America, in a day, you could get 3 or 4 things done in a day. On the continent, it's possibly only 1, maybe 2, because of this is the way it is. It's much slower, so we have to slow down, and you allow things, because we're used to making things happen, and you have to slow down and allow things to come to you. Your vibrations will draw the things to you if that's what you're about. Let it be positive.
Am I still open, Beth?
Yes, yeah, you're still on. You're at the table.
Okay. And, you know, you were asking about, you know, brother was asking what different things you could be. If you go in there, what do you do? On the continent, they're having a major blackout. And I don't know if many of you have heard of it, but the cable was cut. They've got 13 nations out off the internet. We look at everything being in the cloud through the ocean, the way the first internet started in 1854, going to Britain with the telegraph. And this is what we have now going to the continent with what they call terrestrial fiber optics. Thing is that they're seeing by running cable to Africa and to the South America, these are the new markets that they're at in getting connected to technology, because 70% of the 18 to 35-year-olds on the continent of Africa. 70% of the 18 to 35-year-old population is on the continent of Africa. This is the, just as we were rich in the mineral resources and the gold and the diamonds, we are people rich. Because if you look
yes.
at Europe, you look at China, they're losing population, even though they have a billion people. But when they made the one-child law, they depopulated their essence of we as elders. Now, those elders that are getting ready to be the next 20 to 30 years, those next elders that Gen X are getting ready to become elders, they don't have as much back as another generation coming behind them to support them because we're reproducing less, except for on the continent. And so what we're looking at, as we say in indigenous teachings, what you do or say should be for seven generations. I can sit here and count back seven, go back seven generations with five that just watched my mother die at 91. Because she sat on her big mama's porch there in Mississippi, who was born in 1854 and was a slave. So we are looking at the generational wealth of the next two generations, even just looking at that, Gen X and Gen Z and the millennials. When it comes time for them to reach our age, I'm 74 years old. So when my grandchildren get to 60, they're not going to have the support of what we are able to do now. So the thing is I heard somebody say about generational wealth. That would be how you could get into generational wealth by reconnecting, being the key from here to bring what's there back here and take what's here back there. And the way that you do that is through technology, because this is the way. And you're looking at the water, because water is all the embryonic fluid when a woman conceives is the same salt water that we go put our foot in. So what we're looking at, because if you ever rode on a ship at night, you go back there and look at the screws and salt water illuminates because it becomes electric. And so what we're looking at, 70% of the earth is electric. And what the brother was talking about, the Schumann frequency right now has gone from 7.82 to 44 megahertz. This is why you're seeing the cosmic consciousness that is delivering to us, and this next eclipse across America is there where you're saying, well, going across Illinois is really closer to Tokyo, where the first cities was of indigenous people were. But the part we're looking at is this whole planet has a grid of 100, just like a running pipe. You've got Florida. You can go from Galveston, Texas at 29.6 latitude and draw a straight line and go to the pyramids of Giza. They're plugged in. Everything is plugged in on this planet, in our solar system, in our Milky Way galaxy, in our universe, and in our cosmos. We're all connected. And so what we're looking at, the brother said that we're getting ready to come back into the golden age of who we were once upon a time. We're getting the consciousness of what our ancestors and the activation of our mitochondria DNA and our Akashic records. So what we're seeing is divine order, because divine order and the wood wide web is more powerful than the artificial intelligence, as opposed to divine intelligence and this worldwide web. So we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Actually, you're right. We are the ones we're waiting on.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and this is as clear as saying you find yourself in the mirror.
The one the brother just mentioned China. So one of the things with the Chinese, when they come to the continent, is that they tried to marry an African woman. And the purpose of that is that now their children then are African, and so therefore they have a right to the soil and the minerals and the resources.
That's what they did here.
They did the same thing in Egypt. So they're just repeating. Each one comes, the men come and conquer and take the women. And when you father the child by the black woman, you automatically recreate yourself in being able to take, because it's always been a matrilineal system. This is why we call it Mother Africa, Mother Earth, Mother Witch, is because we have taken on the concept of patriarchal, which is European white male Anglo-Saxon, when in Africa, when I was sharing the first time about the name, the person gets the mother's name, not the father's. That's European.
Yes. Okay. I don't dispute that, but it is imperative that we, as Africans born in the diaspora, Africans born in America, that we come to the realization of who we are so that we can take our place in things. Like I said, I'm about solutions, and this is the way that, for me, I can solve some problems in regards to my book as well as in regards to my abilities and my know-how in regards to plumbing systems. But go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, because what you're, it's like laying pipe to run plumbing. And I'm not a master plumber and know the basics. Is that we had plumbing systems before they developed sewage systems in Europe. We had plumbing on the continent in the different townships and civilizations that we lived in. We had cobblestone streets. When we know our story, then we will be able to understand what we are gifted, what is inside of us. See, this is an inside job. We're thinking that everything is outside of us. The universe is within you. You're born
yes.
with everything you need to know. It's just getting to activate it.
And I certainly agree with you.
Absolutely right.
I agree with you.
He's absolutely right. Everything is internal to the external.
And this is, you know, like we can talk about things of the past, but then we live in the present. And like I said, I'm about to. Yes. And this is
but even when you
the
take
solution.
The word, right. But when you even take the word now, now is three words. Own, O-W-N. O-W-N is own, W-O-N is won, and N-O-W is now. If you own what you won, now you have everything that it is because it's all you. Past, present, and future is all now because you can think about what happened when I picked up this phone and called into the show, but it carried over to right now. And what we're looking at is past, present, and future is all now in the moment. But how do you utilize that moment to project what is already prepared for your tomorrow?
And in my opinion, and how you do that is you actualize it and take responsibility to touch as many as you can. And like I said, and become one with our brothers on the continent that's at home.
And they're
waiting on us.
Right, but what I'm sharing is that we're still connected even with them on the continent because with us having to have the experience we had with the captives that were brought here and the people that were already here and connected, because when Mana Musa's brother, Arma Baraka, came here in 1311, had 2,000 ships that came to the west, to South America, and through the Americas and up to Mississippi and populated here.
Yes.
We have been here.
The only power
we're indigenous.
Right. And we have been missing. We didn't come here in 1619. We was here before 1619. See, we think we began there when we began with civilization that all nations use.
Yeah, I have to interject something right now. You see what that brother's saying is so true, and something that we all have to wake up to, that if the slave trade was as massive as they claim it was, where are the slave ships? They were the slaves, some of them put in the museum.
Right.
More than 70% of us were here already. We
already,
you look
yes.
in the Grand Canyon, the state called Utah is named after Ptah. Look in the Grand Canyon, they have sphinx. They have pyramids all over America. They have found relics identical to Egypt over in the Grand Canyon. So like that brother said, we've been here for a long time. All of us are not necessarily from that African slave trade.
Right. And see, right there in Minnesota, in a little lake called Itasca, is where the Mississippi River begins. In the continent, mm-hmm. right there where the brother said he was in Kenya, Tanzania, is what they call Lake Nyanza, or what now they've named it after Queen Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Nile began. And
right.
the Nile runs from the south to the north, and the Mississippi runs from what? The north
south
to the
north.
South. It's the Nile River in the west. And what
mm-hmm.
we're seeing is that we were here and had established whole civilizations before this other invader came in here and did the same thing that they're doing now with what the brother was saying about the Chinese. They came in, they killed more of our people with a barrel of rum than they did with a barrel of gun. And look in our community right now, and we have more what? LICKSTOW. LICKSTOW. You know what that says? Because we don't even pronounce it the way it's spelled. We call it a liquor store.
L-I-Q, huh? I heard that.
No, they don't sell it, Bill. We pronounce it liquor store. L-I-C-K-S-T-O-W, liquor store. And that's more alcohol. More alcohol has destroyed more of our lives here in this continent right now. We have to understand that that was the spirit that killed our spirit of our people here until we started waking up again.
Well, we hear that wake up by divine order. We're in the process of waking up. And thank you, Beverly, for that you do in bringing light to darkness. Because none of us will be here at this moment if it wasn't for Beverly and Chungalia.
Well, Beverly, you know, I'm always pushing at something. You know, we always got to push at something.
We call Beverly the motherboard. Because
yep,
every
she is the motherboard.
Has a motherboard in it, and Bev is our motherboard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really
may
is.
I change the subject for just a moment?
Mm-hmm.
Beverly?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read your name analysis of your positive attributes?
Well, I looked it over. I haven't read this, but I'm waiting till after the show so I could really just get into it.
Okay. Okay.
And I see you sent me Kwame's, and I'm going to send Kwame here.
Yeah, I didn't have his. Right. I didn't have his email address because I would have sent it to him, but I sent it to you because you're the connector.
Okay, I'll send it to him. Okay.
You know, Beverly, I've been doing blog talk radio shows with Beverly. Since how far back we go, Beverly? 2010. And I think this is probably about the 13th shows we've done, Beverly.
Because
we only do them on the significant day of the first day of spring when Aries rises up, the first day of Mother Nature. And I've been doing them. I think we started in 2010, Beverly, And mm-hmm. I met you in 2009 when we did that show at R.J. Walker Studio. Then a year later, right. Howdy came up and we started this. And so mm-hmm. 2010 to now, that's, 24 years ago? 10
yeah.
years ago? 14 years, 14 years ago?
No, 13. Going on 14. Yeah, 14. That's 2004.
Yeah, this is 14. 20, this is 14 years. We've been doing this every first day of spring. And it's amazing the things that I've drawn to her because all the people I know and the things that I've learned from her shows. It's phenomenal. This sister, she has a broad mind, you know, and it's in divine order that all of our souls meet on this corner right here because we come from many, many reincarnations to this. You know, we've met each other before in other lifetimes. We just don't have the consciousness to remember, but we've been the same souls reincarnating and reincarnating up to this dilemma that we're at right now. And I just hope that we can continue forward and continue to share the information through a Blog Talk Radio Show, Beverly's Network. I've met strange people, good people, and positive people, all kind of people. But that's what the world consists of, all kind of people. And people of like minds seem to draw together. And mm-hmm. Beverly's been a real blessing for me. You really have, Beverly.
Right. Sante sana,
habibi, as you say in Swahili. Thank you very much, miss.
Yeah, well, thank you. But for me, I enjoy having all the brilliant minds come here, and I'm able to hear the knowledge, get the knowledge. That's what it's all about.
And we
on the airwaves, and what did you was talking about early, you was talking about that breath. And that's
yeah.
what we do. We use the airway, that air, the breath, to put the knowledge out there. So that's what it's about.
It's all cosmic magnetism. Souls
yeah.
and feather flock together. And you know, you seem to draw that, and that's positive. You know, nothing about that. You know, I remember first seeing you years ago in the candle store drawing, reading tarot cards. And you always been that kind of person. That was back in the early 70s when I seen this sister right in front of Jefferson. I mean, on Gratiot, right outside of Gratiot and Russell, right outside of Eastern Market on Saturday doing tarot card readings way back in the 70s. And now you've grown to all of this, Beverly. I'm so proud of you, sister.
It's a us thing.
Yeah, because it's consciousness. Birds of a feather flock together, related to consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So we come from different reincarnations to this one, and we just found each other in this world.
And that's why we have to change our language, because that changes our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we begin to speak truth, as the name of the show is, Truth to Power. Because
that's why
only about... And you look at something. What's the only vowel in the word truth?
You.
You.
Yeah.
And that's where you find truth at, is in you. And if
that's
it's
right,
not in you, then how are you going to give something that's not in you?
Mm. But salvation has always been the mirror. God lives in the mirror inside of you because it's all internal. It's not external. Like my minister, Dr. Mr. Saldin, teaches us all the time that everything is internal. It's not external. And his salvation is definitely in the mirror.
Right, but that's why we say we're made in the image.
Ah.
The image means it has to be a reflection. You have to have something to see your image.
Mm.
And so this is the part of we're understanding how I'm of age, you know, and we have to look at words because the thing that we talk about, evolution, when you hold the word evolution in the mirror, it just says, know it you love, because the creator is love and you are the creator. So how not you loving that which is created you is giving you the ability to create a world.
Hmm. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. One mind, one world, one thought. You know, one mind, one world, one thought. My brother, can I ask you a question? What is your sign?
I'm a Pisces.
Who are you talking to?
Pisces Sun, Libra Moon, and Leo Rising. And I have five
planets. I'm double Pisces. I can feel that water and the Neptune inside of you. I'm double Pisces. I was named by Marlon Kringa in Los Angeles when I was 15 years old. With 8 months before Kwanzaa was created, he named me Chungali Mwezi to analyze by light of the moon. And that's what my name has been since I was 15 years old. And now I'm 75.
Right, and I'm 74, and Kwanzaa and Yaki. And I studied in traditional Dakota's spiritual teachings, but also I know that my ancestry that settled in Mississippi in 1866 is Lenawee Nila, which is I am Shawnee, and that's part of the Iroquois Nation, because Shawnee only means the southern. We just came from the north down south. And so you got to know where you come from to know where you can go. And we usually say greetings, hotep, or those words we use in language, but you find most young people, what they ask the question when they speak to you, what's up, man? What's going on? Because they have lost themselves.
I know.
And once you know yourself, then you see yourself in the other person, and that's the way you greet it.
Mm-hmm. Well, being raised on the Mile on the Karinga, I speak Swahili fluently, bro. I was with him 8 months before he created Kwanzaa, and I was in a room when he wrote on chalkboard first time in life in 66 when I was 16. And I speak Swahili fluently.
Yeah. And I heard you say, you know, Asante Sana, and somebody just said in Missouri, Asante Sana.
Hmm.
You know.
In Dugal.
Right.
You see, when I say my key Swahili in Dugal?
And I'm not.
I said you speak Swahili, my brother.
But I know you were saying, do I speak Swahili, my brother? And that's what I was trying to figure out, because I know in Dugal is brother.
Yeah,
it's just said. Right. So
what
Milana.
Part of Africa sweet talk Swahili?
It's not a like a Nigerian Ghanaian. It's a Franco Lango. It's a
Pan African tongue. Tribes use to communicate with the Pan African tongue. The tribes use to communicate. Swahili don't have no origin. Place is all over Africa. They use it for,
right.
That's why Maulana Karinga chose to treat the symbols in the Malikas organization Swahili, because Swahili is a pan-African tongue that all tribes use to communicate with each other. That's why when I hear an African speaking Swahili and I say a buddy's out of Sikuninge, they can relate to Swahili, because tribes use that for tribal communications.
Right.
Swahili.
Right, but what it began as in the trading days of trade, before that was the word Pan-African, it was a Franco-Lango, because Milana is kin to Jake Carruthers, and Jake was the one, Jake Carruthers and Conrad Rowell and Anderson Thompson, their Kemetic Institute, sat there with the Hosea, and that's when he came up with the concept for Kwanzaa. Because it's the Egyptian day of first fruit. That's where the seven principles in Nguza Saba comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was all created from his doctrine, Kawaita. And you're absolutely right about what you just said. But Kawaita is what created the seven principles within Nguza Saba. And Kawaita was based on tradition and region. Traditionally, we're African people, but through reason and circumstances, born and raised in America, and everything we should do based on tradition and reason. And Kawaita is his philosophy, but the seven principles in Nguza Saba, I was a part of for like 8-9 months before he put Kwanzaa on the chalkboard. All we knew was in Nguza Saba and Kawaita.
Right, but that's why. Yeah, because what they were there when he was there with Jake Carruthers, Jake was an Egyptologist. And they put together in the Hosea, and that's where they came up with the concept in, what was it, 64, 65, there up there in Chicago. Then he went back to California because, you know, did you know Milana when he went to prison?
other than way before that, I knew why he went to prison. I knew his wife tried to teach me how to read and write. I even shot him because they branded two sisters, because even while Limo Tayati robbed the bank and two sisters snitched on him, and he branded us on their phone in Haiba, Korea. It's a picture of me in a book. It's a picture of me in a book at 17 years old, ushering Haiba down the aisle to marry Maulana. I was 17 years old. Well, anyway, I was in Detroit when this happened in 70. Imam Limo Tayati, vice president, robbed a bank, and two sisters in the organization snitched on him, and he branded them and branded them us on their face, and his wife, Haiba, shot him and put him in jail. It's all on Google. It's all public information. That's what happened. And the brother that volunteered to go to jail with him, I went to Washington High School with Longford, with us organization, in 66. But anyway, I've been in Detroit since late October 69. I met the brother you're talking to, Alfonso Gordon Pugh, this only. I met him first when I got here in 69 from some of my homies in L.A. came here and introduced me to Gordon Alfonso Pugh, the brother we're talking to now on the phone.
Yeah.
I've been in Detroit since then, but I was bred under Maulana Kareem and his wife, and Haiba, his first wife, she did shoot him and called the police on him. He went to jail. But when he came out in, like, 78, 79, I was already in Detroit since, like, 68, 69. And he started putting the black candle in the middle on the Gahunzan and green and red on each side. I can't relate to that because I was in his organization when we only had one log. And it went red, black candle, red, white, red, black, and green, red, black, and green with a red one on the end. And when I came to Detroit, they was doing that in October 68. There was about how much wax you had on your log. And then when he came out of jail in 78, 10 years later, then he changed it around with the black in the middle with the red and black on the other side. But I was here in Detroit, and the father took me away from all the controversy that he went through. So when he sees me in Detroit, he only remember me from the beginning of us organization. He don't relate to me and all the controversy that he went through, because the father took me away from there and put me in Detroit when I was 19 going on 20. And that's when I met the brother you've been talking to, Gordon Alfonso. Alfonso, the brother you're talking to right now. And this brother, when I first met him, some homies that came in from L.A. introduced me to Alfonso Pugh that we're talking to. And I was so amazed with the brother that's on the line right now we're talking to. He had a chessboard called Equal with the whole cabinet on it. He has done some phenomenal things, this brother. And to be at his age and become a racquetball champion with trophies and stuff, I am really impressed with him, even now struggling trying to go back to Africa. He's went through trials and tribulations to do it, but he's still steadfast on getting it done. Because I've been knowing him since 69, the brother on the other line.
That's
Alfonso. Alfonso on the line with us right now, Alfonso, yeah. I've been knowing him
since
69. Some of my homies from L.A. came in and introduced me to him.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was just trying to ask Alfonso, you played three-wall or four-wall racquetball?
Both. One wall, two.
Yeah, you got trophies, too.
Yeah, because we had a league over there in Chicago, and we used to play three wall because we played on the handball court.
Right.
And then after it got popular, it turned around there, and they started putting them in gyms and stuff, and that's when everybody had to learn how to play. But most people that started playing racquetball when it started were usually handball players, and then they came up with a racquet.
Yep, still play at 75th and South Shore at the racquet courts there. In fact, my partner and I, last year in our division, we won our division. So when we come to Chicago, we usually, I'm a former national champ in outdoor racquetball. And we take their lunch money, their bus fare, and try to drink all their beer.
Yeah, do it, Leo. Go for it, Leo.
That's where I learned to play at there on 75th over there at the handball court.
Yes. And so you had mentioned astrological signs. So On my last birthday, no, excuse me, on my next birthday in August, I'll be 84.
Okay.
And then
I'm a
Leo with a Leo rising, an Aries moon, born on the cusp of Virgo, the 22nd of August.
But see, mine just passed, and this is something I've never seen, and most of us won't see it. I was born February 24th, and it was February 2/24/2024.
That's my birthday is February 27th. My birthday is February 27th, brother. I'm double Pisces.
So you'll see it in 3 years. You'll see 2/27/2027.
Right.
Repeat that
right.
Clear and make me understand it. What'd you say?
In 3 years, you will see 2/27/2027.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Sure. We'll.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that. I've already seen it on the calendar. You know, I said, wow, that's going to be an electric time for me. A lot of electricity, a lot of energy could go negative or positive because, see, you have to control that and make it go positive. But if you don't control it, it could go high haywire.
Yeah.
Anytime energy comes,
but see,
you'll be
a 9-9 where I was an 8-8.
Mm-hmm. 9's the number of completions.
Right.
8 right now is my business, deep insights in infinity. But 9 is about completions. So I'll be summarizing something and developing to create the new beginning with the 1, because after 9 comes the new beginning, number 1.
Well,
so
your birthday,
you was a 5, right? If you add that up.
My birthday
the year,
is 2-7.
Oh. Well, I'm talking about Kwame.
My birth number is 2.
No, I was February
2/24/2024. Oh, I forgot the 20. Okay, the 2. Okay,
yeah, but his character number is 8. If he's 2/24, that's 2 2s and a 4. That makes 8. That's his character number. But his destiny number is when you put the 1900s in there, you get his destiny number. But his character number is just his month and day born, which is 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 more is 8. So he's a man of business, money, and deep insights.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, this has been very interesting. I'm glad to have the elders, the knowledge, the wisdom at the mound table here with us. Go ahead.
Dry Bones is going to do Thursday. He's going to have Miss Kim, Ray, and Tariq on the show. He's doing the elders show.
Okay.
This is what we
need.
That's at 9 o'clock on Dry Bones.
On what, brother?
Dry Bones, blog talk show.
Oh, it's a blog talk show called Dry Bones?
Yeah. Send it to me, Kwame, and I can send it.
All right, definitely.
You can turn it on to me another time, Beverly. I want to get the information.
Yeah, Kim Weston is going to be on with us, and she was like her Mickey, Barry Gordy, and Smokey were the ones that started Hitsville. Her and Marvin Gaye, It Takes Two, Baby, and she sang the Black National Anthem at the Coliseum there in Wattstats conference. That she had Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Did you say Wattstats?
Right.
Yeah, Wattstats that they had when Jesse Jackson over there in Los Angeles.
I know that was 1970 when Tommy Jaquette put that together. At the Los Angeles Palladium in 1970, Isaac Hayes played there. Alfonso Pugh, remember Balagoon, the drummer? There's a drummer that me and Alfonso Pugh on this line knows. He played with Isaac Hayes in the Los Angeles Palladium in Festac in 1970, and he's a good friend of Gordon Alfonso Pugh. But remember the other Balagoon? Alfonso, the drummer?
Yes. Oh, yes.
He was a kid to Juanita?
Yes.
He's a drummer that played in that Festax with Isaac Hayes. And Tommy Jaquette, an old friend of mine, childhood friend of mine, he was a producer of that. F- F- Festax they had in Los Angeles Palladium in 1970. I was in Detroit then, but I remember it well.
Yeah, because she was the one that sang the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Yep, sure did. It's probably somewhere on YouTube, Festax, that's the name of it. The old festival you probably can see on YouTube. Festax 1970. Produced by Tommy Jaquette.
All right.
Yeah, brother, we all have great histories, and you know, and I'm proud that the Father put all of us in this spot tonight to vibrate this.
Right.
Up. Vibrations. Thank you. Well, I'm just merely a reflection of you.
Right.
I love you, Alfonso. Thanks for you being you.
I appreciate love all of us on the line because the unity, you know, the unity, and we have to understand is that our next position that we take from elders is we and ancestors. And we got to stop being generational thieves. And this is what we just did by sharing this information that's now recorded on this techno-spiritual program called Blog Talk, but it's going to be archived for life.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
well,
may
I share something else?
Yes, yes.
So I'm into longevity and health. And so I'm a racquetball player, and 1 year I had a hernia. I didn't wear my expansion shorts and things, and I developed this hernia. So after this operation, then I'm on a blood thinner also. I've had open heart surgery and all. But after the surgery, my testicles, the hematoma settled in my testicles. And my testicles was as large as a grapefruit. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't lay down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this reclining chair. And all I could do was put ice underneath and ice on top. But there was a sister, she's from Cuba. She's a gynecologist in Ghana, and she told me to investigate hydrogen peroxide therapy. So, and you can Google all of this. When you take hydrogen peroxide and put it in water, it produces oxygen. So if you were to get in a tub of hydrogen peroxide, and so I suggest if you're using 3%, that you use at least four of the brown bottles, which is 3% hydrogen peroxide in a tub of water. And what happens is that your body will absorb oxygen through your pores. Can't any bacteria or virus live in an environment that of oxygen? And so you strengthen your immune system by taking frequently hydrogen peroxide baths. Your joints, all of these things, oxygen, you can't overdose on oxygen. And these things are very helpful.
But, you know, we had the COVID, the thing that was basically told people to do is food peroxide and D3. Because
that's what I have.
You use food peroxide for COVID.
Well, that's what I use. I use 35% food grade. I only need two cups. It's a book entitled Flood Your Body with Oxygen. And she has a whole chapter, Flood Your Body with Oxygen, yes. And he has a whole chapter on hydrogen peroxide and baths. So,
we do. Spiritual teachings that I learned from the indigenous, I do what they call Native American Nenepe ceremony, a sweat lodge. And that's the what you use, you know, you make a like an igloo out of saplings and you cover it with blankets. And then you heat the rocks till they become red hot like they did when they were lava. And then you bring them into the lodge and you close the door and then you pour water. Why it's called, some people call it a sweat lodge. But what you're doing is that you're taking all the toxins out of your body and the rocks
and the different grades of rock, especially lava rocks, are the oldest mineral keepers on the planet. So when you heat them back up, they're giving you your their energy force and their energy, and your body is releasing the toxins coming out, but you're taking in the energy of that. So in that sweating, and they can get up to 200 degrees in there. And the part about it is that doing one round, doing one sweat lodge is like playing a game of five or six games of racquetball.
Wait, hold on. I got one more person. Who is 313-401? You got your hands raised.
Hmm? Hello there. Blessings.
Hi.
Miss Kim is.
This Miss Kim. Hi, this is Kim Weston, the legendary Kim Weston. Thanks for joining the round table.
Ain't that something?
Listen, a round table is something. I'm going to tell you. You are. I've been listening since the beginning. It's been a great show.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, I promise you.
Yes.
I wanted to make a correction, so we make sure our record is correct. It's Watts,
okay.
and it was at the Coliseum.
The Coliseum?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When she talking to me?
Yeah,
she was talking
about Wattstack in Los Angeles Palladium
In
1970.
Yeah.
Is that what we're referring to? How are you doing, Kim Weston?
I'm blessed, darling.
My name is Chungalia Mwazi. I was named by Dr. Karina Inventor Kwanzaa in 66, but I came to Detroit like in late 68. And in 69, they had the Wattstack in Los Angeles Palladium featuring Isaac Hayes. An old friend of mine at Balagoon was a drummer. And Brother Tommy Jaquette put that together, Wattstack, with Jesse Jackson and the funds he had from Breadbasket at that time. And they put that festival together. But I was in Detroit then. I left the L.A. in 68.
You keep saying the name wrong, darling. It's Wattstack.
Right, correct. Wattstack. That's exactly what it was. Thank you, sister, for correcting me.
And it was done at the Coliseum.
Oh, yes, in Expedition Park.
Not the Palladium.
Los Angeles Palladium. I know exactly what you're talking about.
She's
saying it's not the Palladium.
I beg your
pardon,
ma'am?
Yeah,
it's the Coliseum. Yes, it's on Exposition in Figueroa. I grew up right across the street from it. Exposition Park. It's in Exposition Park at the Coliseum.
Okay.
It's the Coliseum in Exposition Park.
Okay. We good.
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, we're the same place. I live right there on Figueroa in Normandy, which goes right up in there.
I'm Normandy and Santa Barbara.
That place is on between Figueroa and between Normandy. Santa Barbara and Exposition, and between Figueroa and about. Normandy. That's what Exposition Park by Exposition Boulevard, and Wattstack was in that festival. It's on TV. I've seen it before. I've been living in Detroit when it happened, but my friends were a part of it.
Yeah, but Miss Kim lives there in Detroit, but she was born there in Black Bottom.
Ah, I didn't come here until October 68. I'm from L.A. originally.
And Miss Weston, she probably ain't seen you. When she see you, she probably will remember because Chungalia is everywhere.
Yeah, Bert Deering has been a good friend of mine many, many years. And I've been a part of the jazz culture community in Detroit a long time. I started off with Harold McKinney and Marcus Belgrave at the Concert Beach Theater over on Cass and Willis. And I've been growing in the culture community of Detroit since 69. But I think Kim has been in Burt's once, and I was there too.
Okay, that's probably where you've seen her.
Burt's Eastern Market Club, Kim Weston. I think you've been
there. She asking you, do you play an instrument?
No, I don't. I videotape everything. I see every. I'm the one with the camera always filming stuff.
Yeah, he always had a camera. He's filming everything.
Yeah. I talked to Martha Reed just the other day on the phone, talking to a friend of mine on my couch, fussing about something. But I've been around the culture community in Detroit a long time, but I'm originally from L.A. Hey, my Piscean brother that's over there talking to me. Before you leave this line, I really would like to have your number. You have some information I need to get with you on.
I'll give it to you.
Okay, I'll get it from Beverly. Santi, right. Thank you very much, but I want to talk to you. I'll be calling you. My name is Chunga Lee. I'll be calling you.
Kwame, if I may, would you speak on the Veteran Community Coalition for me, please?
Yeah, Ms. Kim is putting, Ms. Kim right now is putting together and trying to get a nationwide Veterans Coalition Committee. For the Iggy Airmen, but also the veterans that have fought in the wars, because she wanted to have an international day for the Tuskegee Airmen, and she's been campaigning for the Tuskegee Airmen for March 28th to have a holiday, a day of commemoration for them, because if it hadn't been for them, this country wouldn't have probably won the war, because they were the ones who protected the bombers. And so this is what she's doing. And Billy Fauntleroy just crossed over last year. He was one of the, I think it's one or two left, isn't it, Ms. Kim? Tuskegee Airmen, original Tuskegee Airmen. But Ray Fauntleroy and, Ray Fauntleroy was Dr. King's chauffeur, and he still lives in Florida. And his other brother, Walter Fauntleroy, was the one who started the Black Congress.
Black Caucus.
You said Black Congress. I thought it was a guy named Walt Bremont that built a Black Congress on 73rd and Broadway in 67, for all the organizations in L.A. to meet at. His name was Walt Bremont on 73rd and Broadway in L.A., big Congress building. That's what you kicked my brain when you said them words. I thought about Walt Bremont.
He was a congressman.
He was a congressman. Right. He tried the Black Caucus. But every time you always saying, you can't, to Detroit in 1969, July 20th, 1969, you remember what happened then?
I got here October 68, but I was here in 69. What are you talking about, bro? Something happened in 69?
July 20th, 1969 is the day that they put on television that they walked on the moon. I was getting the plane.
Oh, yeah, they walked on the moon. I remember that.
Yeah, but I was getting on a plane in San Francisco on my way to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you say 69, that just flashes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, back to that flag on the moon, there was some controversy of that, because that flag was flapping, and people were saying, ain't no oxygen on the moon, how that flag flopping?
Right.
A lot of people said that was a fake picture, because the flag was waving, and then they say there's no oxygen on the moon. If there's no oxygen, how is the flag waving?
But that's what got O.J. Simpson famous. Remember, he played on that movie that they were landed on the moon, and they was in a studio, and he broke out, and they were trying to run across the desert.
I think I do remember that vaguely. Yeah.
Well, we're coming down to our time here, and thanks everyone for joining us at the Mound Table. Thank you, Ms. Kim Weston, for calling in. Looking forward to having you back on the show. And we know that you're going to be on Dry Bones. What day is that again?
That's Thursday. That Dry Bones is going to have, he wants Ms. Kim, myself, and Brother Ray and Brother Tariq to be on the show as the elders show.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. And so we'll listen to you over there. And I want to thank Brother Alfonso. This is your first time coming on. We're looking forward for you to come back. And I
thank
want
you.
To thank everybody. Thank
I'm
God.
Honored.
Better love, nice everyone. Stuff.
One love.
Go
one
ahead.
Love.
One love. One
love. Oh, we're going to leave out with Kim Western.
Beverly, text me that guy's phone number.
Okay, I will.
Vibration.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. It swells deep within my breast, for all I love is within her gaze. My allegiance, America.